Manager and General Manager Weigold and Melissa Bland. Also, I see Pros Commission Chairman Steve Nifson is also in attendance. So I think we're ready to begin. So, Osana, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. If you'd be so good as to join me, everybody. There we are. I pledge allegiance to the flag of
Thanks.
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay. Let me see. Do we have a report from closed session today, Mr. Carmel?
You, Mr. President, at the last board meeting, the board considered the general manager's performance evaluation, but there's no action to report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at this point, we have board member communications. We have any announcements or anything, any brief announcement on anybody's activities or other communications that directors would like to communicate? Yes, Director Steidel. We're not able to hear you.
Right, okay. Were you moving on to item two?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Perhaps the agenda of review, additions or deletions? 1F?
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. My eye just jumped from two different things. We have a brief president's report and a agenda review. So let's back up a little bit. My apologies. President's report is very brief. I just wish to alert the board that I have, again, on my own recognizance, or is that the word, under my own initiative, appointed a subcommittee consisting of an ad hoc subcommittee consisting of myself and Director Farmer to review and hopefully come up with some idea as to the historical costs related to the water reclamation facility. So Director Farmer and I are in the middle of working on that, and we're going to have a few review sessions, but I hope that within the next month we'll be able to bring a report to the board. As to agenda review, additions, deletions, do we have anything that, yes, Director, Vice President Dean.
Hi. I see that Mr. Clark from the Cambria Community Council is in attendance. So I was wondering if we can move agenda item 6C to become the first item under regular business so that he does not have to sit through our entire meeting.
Okay, it's all right with me. Do we have any objections from anybody else? Seeing none, we'll move item 6C to regular business, and we'll start with that when we get to regular business. All right. Any other additions or deletions or changes in order of items? Seeing none. Now we're ready for board member communications. So do we have any board member communications? Okay, seeing none, we'll then move on to the Pros Commission report. So Mr. Niffen, if you'd be so good as to take over here.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. I'm excited in the fact that Mr. Farmer has written a report on our last meeting, and it's in your agenda packet. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Which I'm excited that is the procedure that we're using right now, because that synopsis that he wrote encapsulates what occurred at the meeting. And you don't necessarily need my opinion of what went on at the meeting, because there you have his. So that being said, I think if there was something that I wanted to bring forth as something that was important to me, I would. But I'm going to leave the report to speak for itself. I'll answer any questions that you have about that. And the only thing I really want to talk about is skate day and everybody participating in that, both at the district level and at the community level. I think that's going to be a big fun event for town. So other than that, I'll entertain some questions.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Niffen. Do we have questions from the directors? Any directors? Yeah. Okay. Starting with Director Steidel and then Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I was just curious. Part of the summary of the park's rec and open space had references to the homeless encampments, and I'm assuming that probably the focal point to that is Mr. D'Anzo rather than someone from the PROS Commission. So I don't know whether we want to, I mean, it's certainly good to have information there as part of that report, but that's more a function of a report from Mr. D'Anzo rather than a chair report from a commission or committee.
I could not agree more. I think that we just entertain the information about the homeless situation because occasionally it occurs on district property, which kind of makes us interested in it. And a lot of people aren't real sure where the district lines are, and they think that the Caltrans property sometimes is our property, so they ask about it. But no, by no means are we trying to weigh in on that with any means whatsoever.
I didn't think so, Mr. Niffen, and that wasn't my intent in mentioning it. It's just I just don't want to start conflating information across different sources. We really just need to stick with the source of the material, and in this case, Mr. D'Anzo.
Well, thank you, Director Steidel. Director Farmer.
I just want to say that with regard to the fact that I write a report and therefore Mr. Niffen's any comments he would make would be minimal, I would say that if we didn't get a report from Steve Niffen, the day would not be complete because of Steve. And I just want to make that observation.
Thank you, Harry, Mr. Farmer, for that observation. But I'm happy to comment on any piece of that. You know, we're very excited, well, not excited, but curious about the bike situation in town. We spent quite a bit of time on that. That's not necessarily under our jurisdiction, but that's the kind of the fun part about our meetings. They're a little loosey-goosey, so we find ourselves discussing sometimes things that are more of community interest than necessarily under our jurisdiction. And I apologize for allowing that.
Oh, let me weigh in on that one, Mr. Niffen. I don't think an apology is in order. I watched your PROS meeting with great interest, and I appreciate the areas. After all, it's a little hard to draw the line. This community, we need to look at it as a community as a whole. And so some of these things that may be of concern to other segments of the community do sort of bleed over into PROS's area. So I don't think you need to be shy about discussing actually anything that you guys want to discuss. I found it very, very useful in listening to your meeting. So, Mr. Niffen, do you have any, this is really an opportunity for you to address any other items that might not be on that report or that you want to be sure that the board doesn't forget.
No, I think we're good.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Any additional, anybody else have any questions for Mr. Niffen or comments? All right, seeing none, then we'll move on. Thank you very much, Mr. Niffen, for your report. We'll now come to general public comment. And at this point, I'll read the list of attendees here so the folks that are out there in the audience will know. We have a total of 13 of you out there counting, well, actually 12. Chelsea Foster, Christine Heinrichs, Crosby and Laura Swartz, Dennis Dudzik, Dick Clark, Elizabeth Bettenhausen, James Green, Jim Townsend, Julie Amade, Megan Guernsey, Gersony, Michael Calderwood, and Michael Thomas. So we have a nice group here who've spending their afternoon with us, and welcome to everybody. So do we have any public comment on items that are not on the agenda? All right, I'll just give you, Osana, please.
Yes, I have a written comment, but I'll let Christine Heinrichs speak first.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Christine, go ahead, please.
Welcome, Christine.
There, okay. Thank you, President Howell, for forming that ad hoc committee to determine the costs of the EWS-SWF-WRF. I'd like to ask you, though, why you have not asked the finance manager, Ms. Duffield, for a report on the cost. She told us at the last meeting that she is keeping track of the cost of every bottle of hand sanitizer. And so, I appreciate that there's been a lot of expenses before she arrived. Perhaps a better route rather than calling on yourselves would be to hire a professional accounting firm that could go back through those records, all the different names that it's been called, and actually come up with a figure in which we could have confidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Maris. Do we have any additional comment from the public on these? There's, again, items not on the agenda. Okay, now I understand, Osana, we do have a written comment. So, yeah, please go ahead with that.
Yes, this is from Hedy Pearson. I'm reaching out to you as it's absolutely shocking that so little has been done to mitigate the risk of fire in Cambria. After seeing what has happened in wine country multiple times, in Tahoe, in Big Sur, in Santa Cruz, I would have hoped the leadership in Cambria would have taken significant action by now to reduce the risk of fire in Cambria. Yet it appears that very little has been done. It's deplorable to see the state of the forests in Cambria, that trees and bushes have never been removed and are left lying around as potential tinder for a fire. When a tree falls and happens to block a road, only the part that covers the road is removed, leaving the rest lying in the forest. In European forests, dead trees are fully removed as well as the dead underbrush, as they actively maintain and manage their forests, which is what we should be doing in Cambria. I would like to see a lot of the CCSD budget going towards fire prevention efforts in Cambria. As a homeowner in Cambria, it's incomprehensible to see how little has been done to reduce the risk of fire in Cambria. I would very much appreciate it if the CCSD would write a letter to Governor Newsom asking for state funding to prevent fires by helping to address this issue. California is starting a new program which will put all electrical poles and wires in California underground, as they have been the cause of numerous enormous fires over the last few years. I sincerely hope you can help the citizens of Cambria by taking action on this now. The risk is too high for everyone not to take action. I hope you can help to preserve the paradise we call home for those who live here today and their children, as well as all the wonderful wildlife we share it with. Sincerely, Hedy Pearson. Thank you. There are two raised hands as well. You are muted, President Howell.
Sorry. Yeah, Michael Calder, followed by Elizabeth, please.
Osana, you're muted.
Fellow Cambrians, I want to just take a quick opportunity to throw a kudo out there. There's always discussion about transparency and information and all of the things that the public wants to know. But there was a really nice job done by Melissa on her WaterWise blog, which I got to see this week. I believe that's a new feature, and it had some really good information in there. And it's a really great start. I know we frequently have questions about water usage and things like that. This is a great opportunity to get information, but also to give feedback to the CCSD organization through Melissa's blog about specific things that would be helpful to know as we go forward, rather than waiting for the opportunity to complain that something isn't there. Let's get a little proactive and use the forms that are available through that blog to make suggestions or ask questions, so that when the next iteration comes out, perhaps a lot of those questions can be proactively answered. but a great start and a good job on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Calderwood. Yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, please. Okay, welcome, Dr. Benton.
Has that unmuted me?
Yes, you're good now.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to come back and thank Mr. Calderwood for something too, but it was just very confusing to start speaking now because I rejoined as a panelist and then it wasn't clear. So if you would perhaps at the next meeting, sir, introduce this new procedure on your Zoom, because I was not, as a rather regular attendee, familiar with that. But I do want to comment on two things. I want to thank Mr. Calderwood for mentioning this blog that Melissa Bland has done, because I was wholly unaware of it. I don't know how we were to become familiar with the blog. Perhaps I missed a comment at a meeting or something, but I would urge you to take that into consideration so that many in the community, perhaps General Manager Weigold, could post it on Nextdoor or some equivalent action like that under the public agency column. But I was going to simply speak to observe, I'm having great difficulty understanding Mr. Therrien. I think when you speak, please, Ozana, it sounds like an echo chamber, and I'm only understanding approximately half of the words. Now, that could be some idiosyncratic symbiosis between her microphone and my speaker. I doubt it, though, because many of you looked somewhat baffled when she was speaking, if I read your body language correctly. So please make an adjustment, because nothing is more crucial than what the secretary of the board says. So please adjust that somehow if you can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Yeah, Ozana, we were noticing a bit of a echo here. I don't know, but.
Yes, earlier I noticed that the speaker was missing, that it usually is, and it was too late to change it because I had already started the meeting. So I think it was rebooted and something has been left off. So we will have it fixed next time before we start.
Okay, thank you, Ozana.
I apologize. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further commentary from the public at this time? Seeing none, I thank you, everybody, for your comments. And I will just call out the concern about fire is something that we're all concerned about, and we appreciate, of course, being reminded of how important that is. As to the finance issues regarding the WRF, it just felt as a better use of time rather than pay, asking our already over-committed finance manager to do that work. And again, I'm not too sanguine about spending taxpayer money on rehashing past things when we can get that information ourselves. So I hope that when we do come forward with that, it will prove to be to your satisfaction. And yes, thank you, Melissa, for the work you're doing and spreading the word to folks. I appreciate that. And thank you. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for your comments. We'll proceed now to the consent agenda, of which there is only one item. So, yes, Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Hal. I just want to put this comment out there. And of course, Ms. Pearson gave us a written statement. So she's not necessarily, she isn't present at the meeting. I just want to point out, since she was talking about needing to address the health of the forest and preventing fire, what is equally, if not more important with regard to the prevention of fire as the harm it can do to our own personal homes is fireproofing our homes in a variety of different ways. And that's, like I say, equally, if not more important with regard to preventing residences being burnt down. So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Director Farmer. Director Seidel.
Thank you, President Howell. I know it's out of the ordinary, but as Melissa is here today, as Dr. Bettenhausen wasn't aware of her blog, I mean, it came to me a notification in the email that CCSD always sends out about things. So perhaps Melissa could address that either in targeting the information, or perhaps Dr. Bettenhausen needs to be on the mail distribution.
Ms. Bland, would you care to make a little comment on that? Or
Sure. Yeah, I sent it out to the water conservation listserv. I was actually just emailing Dr. Bettenhausen to see if she's already subscribed to that and to recommend that she sign up, if not.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's see. I see Director Dean, Vice President Dean has her hand up, and then I think Director Seidel, were you finished or did you wish to speak?
I'm finished. Thank you. I apologize for the insertion.
No problem. Yes, Vice President Dean.
While we're in the process of complimenting Melissa Bland on the work that she has done, I would also like to compliment her on the postcard mailing that she did on our water stage. She did an excellent job of that postcard, and I believe that a postcard is a much more efficient way of doing this rather than putting something in our water bill, because people will look both sides of a postcard where they may throw away the insert in the water bill. So I want to compliment her on that as well. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Vice President Dean. And yes, I echo your sentiments completely. So thank you, Ms. Bland. You're doing a wonderful job. Thank you very much. Now to the consent agenda. We have one item, and I will take public comment on that item at this point, if there is any. All right, and if nobody wishes to pull this item, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Director Farmer moves to approve the consent agenda, and we have Vice President Dean.
Do we need to introduce the consent agenda so that people know what's on it, or no?
Not normally, but I guess I should. I will at this point. But normally, everybody's got a copy of the agenda. So, and the consent normally doesn't come up for debate, but I still have to allow public comment on it.
Well, I'll second it anyway, but
okay. Having said so, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the to accept the consent agenda. I will, just for everybody's edification here, the item is consideration to appoint Jim Townsend to fill a vacant seat on the policy committee. So, okay, we are ready for a vote, I believe. So, Osana, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Director Farmer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Seidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Seidel. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. Five ayes. Thank you.
Mr. President, I just want to mention that Mr. Townsend is going to be a very welcome and informed addition to the policy committee. We're looking forward to him being there. Thank you.
Yes, and my thanks to Mr. Townsend for standing up, stepping up to the plate, as it were, and helping us to fill that, to get our committee back to full strength. So looking forward to your participation in that. We are now ready for regular business, and as we discussed, we'll move to item C first, and then we'll commence from there. So we have, it is to receive, discuss, and consider the Skate Park Ad Hoc Committee report, and discuss and consider instructing District Council to proceed with preparation of a memorandum of understanding to fund the Skate Park project. Since this is actually appears to be two items, I think I will take them separately. So the first one will be to discuss and consider the report from the ad hoc committee regarding the skate park, the ad hoc committee on the skate park, have their discuss and consider their report. So yes, Cedric, GM Weigel, could you go ahead and commence presenting this?
Yes, Director Howell. The staff recommends that the board of directors discuss and consider the skate park ad hoc committee report, and provide guidance to the district council in order to proceed with preparation of an MOU to fund the skate park project. At its January 13, 2022 board meeting, the board skate park ad hoc committee made up of directors Dean and Farmer was formed to oversee the project and present a report on project funding. They met with district council and also with the parties with whom this MOU will involve, and the report is attached. Standing by for comment, but I'll turn it back over to you, President Howell.
Thank you, Jim Weigold. At this point, Council, Mr. Carmel, would you have more to add on this at this point in the discussion?
I don't have more to add with regard to the report, but I would certainly be glad to comment on the MOU itself.
Well, we'll do the report, then we'll come back to the and start working out the MOU. So, yes, Director Dean.
Okay. I sense that there's a little confusion between members of the public and also with some members on the board on what we're talking about in the report on phases. So if I can clarify the project phases for everybody, it might help with the discussion as we move forward. My understanding of the phases based on all the information we've gotten with presentations from project manager D'Enzo and other discussions, phase one would consist of the following things: directing the project manager, Ray D'Enzo, to begin the permitting process with county planning, the design development, because at this point all we have is a concept, addressing the county requirements and the possible exemptions for things such as zoning, setbacks, parking, restrooms, etc., the agency review and possible required studies such as sound, geological, environmental, and archaeological, planning department, board, and committee review, including the NCAC, design revisions and further review, the construction permit, the finalized documents, and an engineered cost estimate. That is my understanding of what phase one would consist of. Phase two would be bringing it back to the board for review and discussion, considering and approving an RFP, and having the cost estimated construction funds, that's the engineer cost estimate we have, in hand by the CCSD before proceeding with that phase. Then bid review and verification of the funds needed, construction contract awarded, and building and completing the full construction of the skate park. That would be phase two. In retrospect, I would possibly recommend considering this breaking into three phases, because I think that, and this is my personal opinion, I think that once we get the engineered cost estimate and go out for bid, we also need to bring it back for discussion and consideration to make sure that when we get a final bid, that the funds are going to be able to be raised based on that bid to complete the project. So in rereading my report, I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, maybe we should be breaking this into three phases. But the main object of our meetings, and we met with District Council, Mr. Carmel and Mr. Hirsch twice, and as we did discuss all of the things that everyone brought up that they had concerns of. I think we addressed everything in our discussions before we met with the Cambria Community Council and Skate Cambria to discuss the funding. Mr. Clark is here and Ms. Amadei is here in case anyone has any questions, although some of those questions might be more appropriate for the MOU portion, I don't know. But if District Council has any corrections or comments on what I just said, feel free, please. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Vice President Dean. Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you, President Howell. Just a question, actually, for Vice President Dean, and it might also go to Council. The idea of having an extra phase after the engineering report or the engineered estimate, and the actual start of construction, in other words, seeing the bids and then making sure you have the money, is it possible? Does it make is it legally feasible to take bids for a project that you haven't already committed to pay for? I'm just wondering about that.
Okay. Yes, let's see.
Maybe who would Carmel?
I think, Mr. Carmel, let's start with you, since the word legal was in there.
It's perfectly legal. It's not very intelligent.
Okay.
To explain.
Okay.
As I envision it, we're not going to move forward with any phase until we have all the funds in hand to complete the phase. And that's going to be based on an engineer's estimate. So obviously there's some potential discrepancies, but that's how I'm looking at it. And I'll get into that a little further later, but that's how the MOU is going to be structured.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Additional questions, observations for clarification? Yes, Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. There's something in the discussion, and I may be overlapping into the MOU in this, I don't know. But as we're going through the design process and the permitting process, once we get through there, I think it's incumbent upon us to have some go, no-go point after that that takes a look at whatever the financial impacts are of exemptions that may not be achieved through the permitting process, because that could drive things in a couple of ways. And number one, if we do have to put a bathroom on that site and we don't get the exemption for it, and we can't avail ourselves of the vets hall, I mean, we potentially by that or by some of the studies that are done might find out that the footprint that we could put a disturbed site on for a skate park all of a sudden has that skate park down to 3,500 or 4,000 square feet. And it seems impractical to be thinking in terms of hundreds of thousands of dollars that could even graduate to close to $1 million by the time we do studies and everything else, or those are done, to pay for something with that small a footprint. So I do think that there has to be some stopgap after it gets through the permitting process and we understand whether or not we've been successful in any of the exemptions that have been outlined by Mr. D'Anzo, because those are just, in my mind, they're outstanding risks to us.
Okay. Thank you, Director Steidel. Yeah, we're headed now into discussion a little bit, so I think we might as well move into discussion. I do see.
Sorry about that.
Actually, let me take Vice President Dean, and then as we're moving into discussion, I think we need to hear from the public, and then we can go forward from there. So, yes, Vice President Dean.
All of those questions that Director Steidel just raised supposedly will be answered in phase one, because phase one will address the county requirements and possible exemptions. That's part of phase one, coming up with the results of all of these studies we're going to do. That's in phase one. The end of phase one does bring it back to the board for review and discussion before proceeding with the project. That is the next step right at the end of phase one, is bringing it back to the board for review and discussion.
Okay, excellent. That's exactly the kind of mechanism that I was
before.
I apologize. I didn't ingest all of the listing of items as quickly as as remembrance allowed.
If I thought about typing it up ahead of time, I could have screen shared it once I figured out how to screen share. So I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Okay, so before we head on into a little more debate on this section of what we're doing, let's hear from the public. I see I have one hand up here. So Jim Townsend, would you please bring him in? Osana? Welcome, Mr. Townsend.
Am I unmuted?
Yes,
okay, we have a new system here. Thank you. First of all, I just want to express my appreciation to the board for appointing me to the policy committee. It may become one of those no good deeds that goes unpunished, but we shall see. I think as long as I want to be involved, I think it's important that we put some time in and do some of the hard work in order to nitpick when we feel the need to do so. I did want to comment on the skate park project. I'm not sure which part of the discussion this should go on, but I'll go ahead and get this out of the way now. I want to thank you all very much for your efforts to move the skate park project forward, including today's consideration of the development of a simple and straightforward memorandum of understanding regarding the use of the donated funds raised by Skate Cambria and the rest of the community to support the project. What I'm speaking today on is that I strongly encourage the board to direct staff to initiate the phase one permitting processing for the new facility now, so as not continue to delay the project. Many of the questions raised by concerned board members regarding potential county permitting requirements and costs cannot be addressed until the permitting process is underway. The sooner those questions can be answered, the sooner our community can resolve them and replace a well-used and well-loved facility. Initiating the permitting process now requires no commitment from CCSD beyond allocating a very small portion of the skate park funding already approved by the board. I know of no reason why the board cannot take action today to initiating the phase one permitting required to move the project forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Let's see. Osana, I think I'll hold off on written comment for a little bit. So if we have any additional public comment just at this phase of the discussion? Okay, seeing none, let's bring it back to the board. What I'm suggesting here is that we, hold on a second here, that we've already had some of this discussion. These are, one thing is to bring forth the salient points of the ad hoc committee's report, and I think most of those points have been brought forward. But we might want to hear a little more about the items that are in there. Let's do it this way. If anybody has any general comments about the concept or how we're proceeding or any other, what do I say, critique of the report, this would probably be the best time to bring that forward. Yes, Director Gray?
This is not so much a comment on the report. I'm definitely a question about whether we have to take any action on the report if we're already going to be acting on the MOU, or if it's just we could receive the report and move forward.
Basically, yeah, it's receive the report and move forward. Yeah. But it is an opportunity before we actually get into the nitty-gritty of the MOU as sort of an option to, if any director wishes to kind of make any general comment about the flavor of the MOU, or if there's some item that maybe, I think it was already brought forth, you know, the concern for having a go-no-go point, and then it was addressed. Any other issues like that before we actually get down more into the detail? And I'm not seeing any. Oh, yes, Director Steidel.
This may all play out as the details of the MOU are developed. But I mean, there is language that talks about transfer of funds and administration of this and that, but it doesn't define who has the authority to direct the release of funds from the CCC. And as we don't have a partner entity in Skate Cambria, are we relying on the authority of Skate Cambria, who doesn't carry any authority to release funds from the CCC to the CCSD? So I think that needs to be very specific and very defined, including in movement of funds going past that point.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Any other concerns? Okay. Yes, Director Farmer.
I just want to address the comment that Director Steidel just made, and perhaps we can have Mr. Clark, the president of the Cambria Community Council, step in and address her concern.
I think that may be dealt with as we get a little closer to the MOU. So, but we will be hearing from everybody, all the appropriate parties. So,
I agree.
So this is just sort of more general concerns, or just make sure anything that we want to be sure not to forget to address. I think, okay. So I think we can now go more to the specifics of what the MOU should contain. who the parties should be and what the provisions should be. I think either a member of the ad hoc or council at this point is probably the best approach here. Vice President Dean?
I think council should take this.
Okay. Okay, council.
Thank you, Mr. President. I look at the MOU with the Community Council as a fairly simple and straightforward document, as Mr. Townsend just commented. The Community Council's only role is holding the money raised by Skate Cambria and transferring the money to the district at the appropriate times. They're really just a conduit, and the MOU will establish when and how the funds are to be transferred. For funding purposes, I look at the project as having three main phases. Before it becomes operational. The design phase, in which Spahn Ranch, or whom I presume Spahn Ranch, will prepare working drawings and final plans. The permitting phase, where the district will process and obtain necessary permits and approvals through the county. And the construction phase, where the district will go through the public bidding process, choose a contractor to build the project, enter into a public construction contract, and then build the skate park. Accurate cost estimates will need to be developed for each phase, and no phase will move forward until it is fully funded. The MOU will also include language indicating that the funding for the skate park project is contingent on Skate Cambria raising the necessary funds, and that the district's only monetary commitment is the $178,000 previously allocated by the board. So the MOU is really just a funding agreement. And I know there are a lot of moving parts to this project, but this deals simply with funding. So I don't think it'll be terribly complicated. And I think at this point in time, you know, we have certainly the funds to begin the design process. We'll need to do the design process before we move to the county, because we need more than concept plans to submit an application. So those are my comments. I'd be glad to answer questions on the MOU itself. I don't look at it as a complicated document. It's really just a conduit document to get the money into our hands so that we can then enter into contracts and begin the process of actually developing this project.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Vice President Dean, followed by Director Gray, followed by Director Steidel.
I think Director Gray had his hand up first.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you, President Howell. And Vice President Dean, just a quick question for clarification from Mr. Carmel. On the concept of a design phase separate from the rest of the permitting phase, what would be the end product of the design phase? In other words, when do we know it's completed, and what is the product?
We'll have working drawings and final plans, literally plans that show the dimensions, where it belongs, all the components of the project. We really can't, the county won't process it until you show essentially all the potential impacts of the project. So it requires an elevated set of plans.
Thank you. Let's see, Vice President Dean and then Director Steindl.
Okay, so we talked about cost sharing with the Skate Cambria matching our funds one-to-one as we go through our infusions of $59,000 at a time. Is that going to be part of the MOU?
Mr. Carmel, could you answer that?
No, it's not. It'll be a recital. It'll certainly, I'll recite all the history of the project. But in terms of the funding itself, it's not necessary. I mean, it'll have a place in it, but it really has no import with regard to the MOU.
Okay.
Director Steindl?
I'm just curious, what happens if the company who provided us with the conceptual design does not want to do the final design on this?
For me?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
Is that for me?
I think it's for you.
Probably Mr. Carmel, you may be in the best position to answer that.
Yes, we'd probably do an RFP and see who else out there is interested and is able to do the design work. There are plenty of others out there. I just assumed they would want to do it because they did the concept plan and they've been intimately.
Right. I'm just thinking if they decline, we're probably looking at added cost to bring someone in on the ground floor.
Okay.
If you could do an RFP to begin with, that would be up to the board.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Yes, Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. One more question is probably for Mr. Carmel again. When you say it's a funding contract only, I assume what that means is that the CCSD has full control over all aspects of the project. In other words, design, change orders, all that. And the CCC has no, basically cedes that all that responsibility to the CCSD.
That's absolutely correct. When the ad hoc met with representatives of State Cambria and the council, this was discussed at length, and Julie and State Cambria indicated they really wanted absolutely no hands-on role in this project. They wanted to be informal advisors and give input, but they did not want any obligations with regard to the project itself, which really means this is a district project and a district project only. You will make all the decisions on this project.
Go ahead. And one more question. This might not, I don't want to open a can of worms with this, but we mentioned three phases ending in the completion of the project. Does the MOU have any, and there's been a lot of talk obviously about operations and how it'll be paid for and the Lions Club helping out and things like that. If this is not the time to try to set out a, you know, description of responsibilities for operating and maintenance costs, is there a point during this process of like this stop points we're talking about where we maybe should have a requirement, let me be before construction, of another MOU, a second MOU for operations somehow?
Well, that would have been great. And when I actually went into these discussions, it was my anticipation that State Cambria would have a much more heightened role in operations and maintenance. As it turned out, they wanted no role in that, at least at this point in time. And if I'm misspeaking, please, you know, maybe have Julie have an opportunity to speak. Those are going to be district obligations, operations and maintenance. This will be our park. And for all practical purposes at this point in time, I think we should assume that we're paying for all operational costs and all maintenance costs. I know the Lions Club has been generous in stepping up and offering $1,000 a month, I mean, a year. And we distilled an agreement for that. And hopefully others in the community, other organizations will step up and provide some additional help with regard to maintenance. Operations will be our problem. But I don't see, unless someone is willing to step up to the plate and enter into those functions, I don't see a place for another MOU. It's going to be CCSD and the board that makes all the decisions with regard to operations and maintenance.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. Director Steindl?
I hear again that it would be a simple definition of CCC would release funds to CCSD under these circumstances, but who directs CCC to release those funds? Because Skate Henry has indicated they don't want to have anything to do with this process. Which is fascinating, but who under what obligation does CCC provide money to CCSD?
Okay, Mr. Carmel?
As I see it, that's what this MOU is going to say.
Okay.
It'll be either the board or perhaps you'll delegate that function to the general manager. Mm-hmm. Essentially, this is looking at the design cost, making sure we have the money on hand, and then going through the contract process to make sure that phase can be completed. And that's going to either be done by you or by someone you delegated that decision to. And it could be the project manager, Mr. D'Enzo.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Vice President Dean?
If no one has any more questions, can I make a motion that we direct council to proceed with drafting the MOU?
Yes, we need some more public comment, but I think we can wait
until. Sorry.
Go ahead and make the motion, and then we'll hear the public comment on the motion, and then go from there. Director Steindl.
Perhaps we accept and file the ad hoc report first, as you had wanted to break this into two pieces.
We can. It's not required to accept a report, but we can just to say that if we bless the.
Okay. I was just asking because of the division that you had. I didn't know for sure what you meant by having the division. If there was something that was relative to that, okay.
Thank you.
Doesn't make any difference to me.
I'm feeling my way a bit on this because it's a complicated issue. But technically, when we receive when a report comes back from a committee, a board doesn't necessarily have to do anything except say thank you for the report. But if this board would like to move to make a specific comment or take a position with regard to the report, we could certainly have a motion, to accept the report and all that it or not. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. I see that Vice President Dean has her hand up.
I would be happy to reword my motion so it includes both objects, but I think you said you wanted to take public comment first.
I think we can do it all after you make the motion.
Okay. I move that we accept and file, or is that how you say it? Accept and file the skate park ad hoc committee report and instruct district council to proceed with the preparation of the memorandum of understanding to fund the skate park project.
Okay.
All right. I'll go ahead and second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the board accept and file the report from the ad hoc skate park committee and instruct district council to proceed with crafting an MOU. I may not have given your words exactly, Vice President Dean, but does that?
Close enough.
Okay, Osana, is that good enough for you?
I think so. Did I hear Director Farmer second it?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Vice President Dean, how do you vote?
I think we're going to take public comment first before.
No, that's all fine. We'll take public comment and then we'll have any additional debate in case anybody wishes to debate the motion, and then we'll have the vote. So at this point, our folks out there in our audience, do you have anything you wish to tell us or comment to us regarding this entire agenda item, either the contents of the report or the what the MOU should or should not contain, or anything else relative to this topic? I don't see anybody right now. Let's give it a minute. While I'm looking, Osana, do we have any written commentary on this agenda item?
No, I had Mr. Townsend, which he spoke, so that was the only thing. Oh, I do see hand up.
Yes, I see Chelsea Foster. Yeah, so Osana, please bring Chelsea in.
Will do.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, thank you.
President Howell and the entire board. I was wondering, I thought we were going to hear from Dick Clark from CCC first regarding the MOU before the rest of us speak.
We can do that.
I was just following up on what was said earlier. I don't want to step over anyone.
We can do that, although if you had something that you wanted to say prior, that's okay too.
Okay. well, I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for honoring the opportunity to listen to the agenda item before public comment is taken. It is very much, more considered, so we have a better understanding of what everybody's talking about. In the kind time of that, of course, in review of the memorandum, I just want to make a general statement to the public and to whoever might be listening. It's really important that the public is able to respect and understand these memorandums. There are many nuances which pass through oftentimes, others that go completely unnoticed. So each and every topic listed here is essential for satisfying the needs of the community with regard to this agenda item. And some of the smaller points written in the narrative become greater issues down line. So, I, again, can reiterate, it's really important that everybody pays attention and is, looking out for the community at large. It was such a wise decision of CCSD to be proactive about supporting this project, especially on Main Street, where the children and families will be seen for the factor of safety and whatever else that land was originally allocated for. And We've been very successful, obviously, with fundraising. So with that note, yes, we have Skate Day coming. And for, again, any public listening, it is important that the fundraising continues. We've had such a strong success with that. And this is about a community strong project. It's only got positivity around it. And on that note, I just wanted to say thank you for everybody that's involved. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Foster. Do we have any additional comment from the public? Not seeing any. We're back to the board. So now we're ready to debate the motion. So does anyone on the board have anything they wish to say about the motion or against it or anything else? Yes, Director Gray.
Just so I'm clear on this, the motion is to instruct that we're taking the motion now to set the process in motion for the, as it were, for the MOU to be prepared. This is the final action, not the final action, but final action today. And that, of course, if that's the case, I did, I want to return to the issue of the operating expenses. And I want to get clear, first of all, on what we were asking council to prepare, but also the implications of it for the supporters of the skate park. It sounds to me like if we're not going to have any commitment from the community council or Skate Cambria through the community council to fund anything, and they're going to be totally not involved, just involved with fundraising, but nothing else. We're totally free to control. They should know we're totally free to control the whole process. If we don't have the money to maintain it, we can close it, for instance. And we don't have the money in our budget to maintain anything in recreation. So I don't know if we actually asked all the questions of the CCC and Skate Cambria about the implications of them just simply raising money for it and then walking away, which is kind of what they're saying they're going to do, because we don't have the money. We don't have a maintenance fund in our budget for recreational facilities. And I'm not sure we'll have one in the next few years either, because there's all sorts of other demands on our budget. So if it's clear to the council, community council, and through them to Skate Cambria that we can close it if we have to. If we don't have the money to maintain it, we can close it, so forth, or to operate it. Then I guess I'm fine with that. But I don't think that's what they want.
I see. Thank you, Director Gray. I may ask, well, since they're here, we might want to ask them. But before we do that, Director Farmer?
I'm a little taken back by Director Gray's comment, where he said that Skate Cambria just be walking away. I personally would see it as the exact opposite, with all the passion and commitment that folks of all ages have made to this particular project. I don't see them walking away with regard to the maintenance, even though perhaps the district will be involved in that. I see personally, just like we see a tremendous amount of donations taking place from folks that live here and don't live here, I can see volunteers in the community participating in the general upkeep of the facility once it's built. That's just my feeling, my gut feeling, because there's a lot of, like I say, a lot of passion and a tremendous amount of affection for this project going forward and being completed. So that's my take on it. I don't see Skate Cambria or the CCC walking away. Thank you.
Okay, now I see a whole lot of commentary. So starting with Director Gray, then Director Steidel, and then Vice President Dean.
Yeah, just to respond to Director Farmer on that last point, I'm not saying anything about the people involved or Skate Cambria. I'm talking about the MOU, the terms of the MOU. And it says the way we have it, where we're going to have it framed, that they do, in fact, walk away in terms of any sort of responsibility, any sort of contractual responsibility, legal responsibility for the skate park. And it has implications. I'm also talking about 10, 20 years from now, what might be the case. If any of you, you know, have gone back to the history of the earlier skate park, that was built, obviously it was built on district land and by private parties, essentially. And there was actually something set up. There was a 501c3 set up to take care of it. What happened, of course, was that it wasn't a 501c3 with the weight and staying power of the community council, and it went away. And we were, CCSD ended up having to do maintenance. Well, they didn't have the funds for maintenance. It fell apart and they ended up, you know, tearing it down. And I don't want that to repeat. I think there needs to be some kind of provision made in the context of the MOU for to ensure that you can go, you can maintain it indefinitely going forward without it being subject to the, you know, fortunes of the budget in the CCSD. I just think a contract that does not have anything about operations in it is an incomplete contract, in my view.
Okay. Thank you, Director Gray, Director Steidel, and then Director Vice President Dean.
Thank you, President Howell. I have the same concerns that Director Gray does, and it's the same kind of situation where there's, you know, all the, I used this once already, the best intentions are, you know, the way to hell are paved with good intentions, and that's, we may have the passion, we may have a lot of things going on right now, but if you get 5 years down from this, and potentially the kids who were part of the process going on are no longer part of that process, it changes things, and there isn't necessarily the same commitment. I mean, even the evolution of how Skate Cambria was formulated changed. I mean, even I was involved in early conversations that went on, and I had principals from Skate Cambria sitting across the table from me acknowledging the need of set aside funds for maintenance after the skate park was, you know, defined. Mm-hmm. And all of that obligation seems to be no longer part of the repertoire. And it surprises me and it bothers me. And I'm concerned that there'll also be a lag in the fundraising with a lag in passion, because there's something that has come to fruition and it's okay, that's done, move on to the next thing. And that's already happened to the CCSD multiple times with things that it deals with and that it has to pay money for. And that's why we have elements in our strategic plan. It isn't 5 years from now when the $1,000 a year runs out. It's 10 years from now when there has to be some kind of major activity in terms of maintenance that can't be done by people picking up paper. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Yes, Vice President Dean.
My understanding is that this is an MOU on how we're going to get the money that Skate Cambria raised through the Cambria Community Council. So perhaps we can ask District Council to explain to us what kind of things he's going to put in this MOU.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
I have a member of the public waiting to speak too. I don't know if we're done with public comment, but
we are kind of, but I think I'm kind of inclined because some questions have been raised. And I would like to address the public on this one. So I'm being a little bit out of, if you guys will bear with me. I'd like to hear from Julie Amade and Mike, where is he? And Dick Clark on this issue of maintenance. And I also see Jeff Smith wanting to talk. So if I could hear from Julie and then Mr. Clark, if you guys would be willing to just briefly speak to us a little bit about this problem of ongoing maintenance, and then I will give Jeff also a chance to speak. So I don't see either of the Mr. Clark or Julie. Well, let's start with Jeff Smith then, and see whether I can. I would like to hear from the other two if they're willing to speak up. But go ahead.
Julie's on there.
Here she is. I'm sorry, I didn't see her come in. Yes, Julie, and welcome to Mr. Clark also.
Thank you for having me, and hello, board. First, I want to address Director Seidel directly, because it's very important that I make a very clear statement. We have never taken our foot off the gas. We have never said we're walking away from this project. In fact, the meeting we had with legal counsel, was extremely positive in finding a way that was the simplest way, quite frankly, in working this entire equation, which is why we came up with the MOU. We never said we would be a 501c3. We have no intention of being a 501c3. Never said that, ever. What we did say is that we are a very active fundraising arm, bringing the large majority of this project money to the table. And as far as future maintenance goes, I actually take a little bit offense to Director Gray's comment about the original skate park. That park was built with passion from this community, and they cared about it. And yes, as far as deferred maintenance, it was a wood park, which under the extreme elements of what we have in different seasons here, but more importantly, sea air, it wasn't meant to last. That's why we're proposing to do a proper concrete park. And so to speak to the maintenance item, we did ask directly, what was your idea of what that dollar amount looked like? And the discussion we had, Director Seidel, was, please tell me what you think that number is. And I said, I will go back to industry and I will get a realistic number. Okay, you can shake your head. I'm telling you, that's where the $5,000 came from. Then I asked what entity you would like me to go engage with. And logically, the Lions Club came to the table because of their Pine Dorado, their experience and mission with children, and quite frankly, their original history of where the skate park even started, where ramps used to be pulled out and put into the parking lot for children to use. So are we committing to a future maintenance fund? Right now, we're trying to fill a funding gap, and we're committed to doing it and bringing a tremendous amount of money to the table so that CCSD can have a completed project and step back and go, I'm just going to pull a number, so forgive me. Here's $650,000 minus your $178,000 in commitment, and a project we can all be proud of. Now, can we take a pause and figure out what that the maintenance? I hear what you're saying, and what I, yes, this is a project that belongs to CCSD. And now I'm going to be even more frank. I find offense in the fact that nowhere in your budget you can find any money for future maintenance of this project to take care of the children of this community. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Amate. So let's see. Let's have Mr. Clark, if you would be so good as to unmute yourself and speak.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
Okay, great. The first part of the MOU is just we're the conduit of just transferring the funds. I think on the issue of the maintenance later on, I think that we can work something out with the CCC. We do provide grants and funds for various projects. We've supported like 61 different organizations in town. We've done like 37 different school projects. So I think working with you, even if it means bringing in some of my own funds of starting up a maintenance fund, I think I can make that happen.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Other than the report of the ad hoc committee was excellent. I thought Directors Farmer and Dean did a magnificent job. And I agree totally with the framework that's within the report.
Okay. Thank you very much for there. And thank you for coming today and joining us. I am going to allow a little more public comment. I realize this is not entirely in order. If the directors will bear with me, I see Jeff Smith, and then I've got, well, Chelsea's already had a chance to speak. So we'll just do Jeff Smith at this point.
Great. Thank you, President Howell. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. I just wanted to reiterate again, you know, our intention is to build a concrete, long-lasting, low-maintenance facility. We do understand, as with any facility you build, there is some maintenance associated with that. So as Julie had mentioned, we've gone out to industry, tried to figure out what, you know, a reasonable amount to be set aside yearly is, and have planned out that 4 or 5 years moving forward. In the long run, there's always going to be some kids in this community. There's always going to be an interest in skateboarding. The sport has only been taken off with it being recently included in the Olympics, and we've seen just sales within the skate industry explode. It's growing. There's going to be interest in the long term. With that said, too, in terms of commitments to this, I didn't hear the same foresight before the bathroom project being approved in terms of that. And that seems like an extremely high maintenance, ongoing, daily, weekly maintenance that's going on. I heard no discussions of 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road in terms of that. We know costs are going to be much higher on that. So I just wanted to bring that up again in terms of with what we've seen so far, raising almost near a couple hundred thousand dollars from the community so far, with maintenance costs looking at around $1,000 a year on that. It just seems crazy that we wouldn't be able to raise that to keep it open, and talking about having to close it down and things like that in the future. I just want to put that in perspective in terms of how much has been raised by the community and how much we're actually looking at yearly maintenance on this project. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Okay, I see two directors here. I don't want to get too deeply into this, but I felt that some of these reservations do need to be brought forth a little bit. I want to make one comment here to both to our friends out that are listening and to everybody. This kind of problem that Director Gray and Director Steidel are raising, this is something that is that occurs frequently in cases like universities or museums, any public entity that receives donations of property, for example, or a collection of paintings. There is always a cost associated with those gifts that is often not considered. If someone dedicates, say, like a property to the University of California, that university has to think very carefully as to whether it can accept the gift because of the obligations of maintaining that property. So this is not an uncommon situation, nor is it something that we should be ignoring. So I do appreciate the concerns of Director Gray and Director Steidel, but the message to everybody is I don't think that this should necessarily be taken as opposition to the skate park, but I would prefer to think of it as prudence. Mm-hmm. As because, yeah, we directors are here for a very short time. The district itself will be here long after we're gone, we hope. And the community will be here too. And so it's important that our actions don't saddle future inhabitants of this community with costs that we haven't carefully considered. So in this regard, we're doing our due diligence. So I just wanted to bring that forward. So it should not be interpreted as hostility to the idea that we just need to be clear about that. We'll bring Director Dean, Vice President Dean in first, and then Director Grace and Steidel after that. Okay.
You can go ahead and let the other two directors speak first.
Okay.
But I do want to thank Dick Clark from the Cambria Community Council for his offer of possibly helping with the maintenance. You can come back to me after them, please.
Okay, yes, indeed. So Director Gray first, and then Director Steidel.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, President Howell. I don't know if this is would be in the form of an amendment or some additional instructions. But I do think, again, speaking of Mr. Clark, he's steering the discussion in a very constructive direction. There is a very common provision in projects where a certain amount of money is set aside for an operating endowment, which can support maintenance and operations for, you know, indefinitely if it's adequately funded. And he mentions, Mr. Clark mentions a fund, a maintenance and operations fund. I would propose that the MOU include some provision of that kind in the construction phase funding. In other words, it's added to the amount of money that would be required simply to finish the project. And it would be, again, it would be the same people coming forward probably to contribute it. And it looks like the community council is willing to try to do that. I think that would give everybody some security that, say, 10, 20 years from now, there'll still be money to maintain the skate park. Even if none of us are here, even if none of the kids are here who are here now, there'll still be money to maintain it that's been set aside. And, you know, just like, you know, it's basically a reserve, which is invested, and it sustains investment, sustains maintenance. And it can be determined at the time we go to, you know, have the bids and everything. just what a conservative, realistic estimate of annual maintenance is going forward, and we can base it on that. That's my proposal.
Okay, thank you, Director Gray. Director Seidel.
My purpose in having put up my hand was actually to thank Mr. Clark, because this is the first, at least, information that's come forward either by any of my interactions that I had with certainly with Skagit-Cambria or in previous interaction with CCC, that is something that would be at least a possibility. And it's a very positive route and offer that Mr. Clark has put on the table. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Seidel. Yes, Vice President Dean.
Okay, and I agree that that's a very positive thought, and I agree with Director Gray that possibly that could be considered when we get to the construction phase. But in the meantime, I just want to remind the board that we do have a motion and a second on the table.
Right. Okay. We have further debate. That sounded like a call for the...
I guess I should... Could I offer an amendment?
Okay, you can. What would be... How would you...
In addition to, you know, what the... Council has said it will be in the essentials of the MOU to negotiate an operating fund to be included at the construction phase.
Okay. Is there a second?
Not at this point, but just to have the notion of operating fund included at the construction phase.
All right. Director Dean?
Can we check with District Council to see if that's a possibility? And also, I know that the MOU is going to come back to the board for discussion and consideration once it's drafted.
Right. So if we're not getting a second yet, I guess, though, that...
I just want to hear from District Council first before I second it.
Oh, okay. Yes, Mr. Carmel.
Yes, of course we could include an operations and maintenance fund as a part of the construction phase. We'd need direction as to how much that fund would be, you know, what percent of construction costs. We need a little more detail to include it with some precision, but it can easily be done.
Okay. Thank you. So did that answer your question, Vice President Dean? So,
yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, there's a moved and seconded to amend the motion to include a maintenance at the beginning of the construction phase. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. To include a fund for maintenance.
Maintenance and operations, yeah.
Maintenance and operations. Okay. Did I phrase that correctly?
I think, yeah, that has to be established before we commence the construction phase.
Ah, yeah. Before commencing the construction phase. Okay. Yes, Vice President Dean?
Director Farmer seconded the original motion. So does he need to agree to the amendment?
No, because we have to vote on the amendment.
No, I think District Council is shaking his head yes.
I think the president's right. You have to vote on the amendment first, then you can take that on.
Yeah, and then if he doesn't like, well, what would happen is if the amendment passes and Director Farmer doesn't like the amendment, then he can vote against the amendment. Then the issue is if it gets amended, is it acceptable? Removing the second wouldn't make a difference at this point because a motion, in fact, I was just checking Robert's rules earlier, does not necessarily require a second.
No, it doesn't.
It's always nice because you'd like to have at least two people interested in discussing something, but it's not an absolute requirement. So I see your hands are still up.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry.
I have one question for counsel. And is an MOU is a memorandum of understanding that we are going to create as an agreement between parties. But who would be the party that agrees to the ongoing maintenance fund? I can't, not quite sure how that fits.
The way I look at it, you're going to require an additional amount over and above the costs of construction, and that's an amount that you'll have to determine is adequate before you commence construction. So essentially, fundraising by Skate Cambria is going to have to include some component of an operations fund before you're willing to commence construction of the project.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying that. So if there's no further debate, we can take the question. Before we begin, Ms. Duffield, did you have your hand raised earlier? No? Okay. I wasn't sure. We were talking about finances, and I thought I saw your hand. Okay, so I think we're ready for a roll call. Director Farmer, please go ahead.
Is this on the amendment or the vote?
This is just on the amendment.
On the amendment, okay.
Director Farmer, I think he has a question or comment before we take the question.
With regard to the design of the project, which we don't really know what the completed design is going to be, the idea of we probably won't know until the design takes place and how complicated that particular design might be as to what maintenance would be as a result.
Okay, thank you. And so this would be done before we commence the construction phase, if I understood the... So at that point, we would know what the design... In other words, we're not going to decide now what that amount is going to be. Did I interpret that correctly? Yeah.
Yeah, and I also want to say, and I may be out of line here, maybe I'm just getting a little bit irritated, and I understand the scrutiny, and we're spending district as well as ratepayers' money, so to speak. But I wish this much scrutiny had taken place in projects in the past that required a lot more spending of ratepayers' and districts' money. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. So I think that this board is doing its due diligence here. So if there are no further there's no further debate, then we're ready for the roll. So, Osana, would you please call the roll? And this is a vote on the amendment. So we're not yet, just the amendment.
Okay. All right. So to vote on the amendment as Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Director Gray, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Vice President Dean, aye. Thank you. Let's see. Director Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Director Farmer.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 5 ayes for the amendment.
Thank you. So now we're ready. We're back to the regular motion now, which is to... I forgot the wording. It's basically to instruct the council to continue with the MOU and include some verbiage regarding a maintenance fund to be decided upon by the board prior to the construction phase. That, as a rough, did I do it? Is that correct enough for everybody? Okay, we're good. Oh, yeah. Vice President Dean?
Part of the motion was to receive and accept and file the skate park ad hoc committee's report.
Right. Yeah. So to receive and accept skate park ad hoc committee's report and to instruct council to proceed with the MOU as indicated in the report, but with the addition of a specification for a maintenance fund to be decided upon prior to construction.
Well, just a point of clarification though. The report had only a two-phase process, and the council was describing a three-phase process. So maybe they, as outlined by council, in
let's
his
description. Yeah. Let's pretend that I simply misspoke.
Okay.
So, as outlined by council. I think we're ready then to for the roll call on this if there's no further discussion. All right. I do see, Mr. Clark, you're green as though you're trying to talk.
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, it's just an artifact of Zoom. Okay, so we're ready for the roll call, Osana.
Sure. Vice President Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. Five ayes to receive, accept, and file the skate park report with the addition of the three phases by council.
And to instruct council to proceed with preparing the MOU.
And to, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we're finished with that. Feels very good, everybody. Give yourselves a pat. We're making progress. I think at this point we're about halfway through our scheduled meeting, so I'd like to take a 5-minute recess or a 7-minute. I see 3:27 on my, yes, Director Farmer.
I just wanted to thank the folks in the public that made comments on this particular issue. And following up on Jeff Smith, skateboarding is growing by leaps and bounds all over the planet by people of all ages, but especially the youth. And having a skate park in this community designed by one of the world-class designers is going to be a tremendous attribute to this community and the entire county. I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. And Vice President Dean also.
If I can make one more comment. This is the first time that I can ever remember that the district was able to build a project that was potentially between $650,000 and possibly $1 million for only $178,000 out of funds. I just want to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. I'd like to follow that with presidential privilege here a little bit to thank all of the skate park people for what is going to be a very remarkable, marvelous gift to the district and the community. As Vice President Dean said, we're getting off with very small expense, but we are receiving an amazing donation of a facility that can make this, that will be, I think every community now on this coast is like everybody has to have a skate park. And I think we'll be right up there so we can all be proud. So good job, everybody. So let us take a 5-minute, or let's make it 6 minutes. Come back at 3:35, if that's all right. Julie, your hand is up, though. Did you want to say something more?
Yes, I just want to say thank you very much.
Okay, well, you're very welcome, and thank you. So, okay, everybody, we'll see you back here at 3:35. If that's all right with everybody? Okay, I'll see you back in 6 minutes. Okay, we're almost all, I think we're all here, almost. Okay, everybody is back. So I think we're ready to commence. Mm-hmm. We are, good, good. We are now ready for item 6A, which is a discussion and consideration of the annual review of affordable housing allocations. So, General Manager Weigold, would you be so good as to present this item?
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 6A is discussion and consideration of the annual review of affordable housing allocations. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors review the affordable housing program unit allocations in accordance with the CCSD Municipal Code Section 8.04.110 and make a determination that a sufficient number of affordable housing unit allocations exists to meet the needs of the community. I could read through some of the background, but I'm going to turn this over to Melissa Bland, who crafted this report, and she can give you an executive summary for your consideration.
Thank you, GM Weigold. So, Ms. Bland, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Howell, Board. To recap as quickly as I can, the affordable housing program has been kind of in a limbo status since about 2019, when your board formed an ad hoc committee to review the applications that had been submitted under a revised affordable housing program that had been approved also in 2019. As a result of that ad hoc's work with staff, it was discovered that the existing affordable housing program was not fully compliant with the local coastal program. So staff undertook an effort to work with the County of San Luis Obispo to understand what would be necessary to bring that program into compliance and essentially determine the next steps. Your board reviewed staff's recommendation in 2020 and authorized staff to proceed with the collaboration with SLO County to continue work on that affordable housing program. Since then, we have undertaken several different programs that all intersect to essentially address the primary component of the it's the North Coast Area Plan. There's a requirement that all new development in Cambria ensure that there are no impacts on the creek aquifers, and the past method to accomplish this was through demand offset. Since then, we know that the California Coastal Commission does not consider the district's current demand offset program to be an adequate means of achieving this compliance. So we're continuing to look at revising that program and submitting a new demand offset program to support a new affordable housing program to San Luis Obispo County. Eventually, the end goal of this would be review at the Board of Supervisors level. And that might circumnavigate the need for a LCP amendment. If an amendment is required, SLO County has indicated that they would be willing to work with staff to initiate that process. So as a result of the program essentially being in a standby mode, the staff recommendation is to determine that the existing allocation of 56 affordable housing units is adequate.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Bland. Let's see, do we have any questions for clarification or comments for clarification from the board? Director Steidel. Can't hear you.
Myself, Brent. I really have to commend Ms. Bland on being able to take what was a very complex issue that both President Howell and I had spent a lot of time on trying to understand. And taking it down to its most salient points to be able to present the information to the board and make it much more easy for us to assess our decision-making on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Any other comments from the board? Okay, at this point, then we'll move to public comment before we start debate. So do we have any public comment on this issue here? This is the matter of allocating modifying our pool of allocations of for affordable housing. All right, I'm not seeing anybody here. Miss Christine Heinrichs, if you please bring her in, Osana.
Welcome. Okay, thank you. Yes, it takes a minute to get it worked through. I thank Ms. Bland for her candor and for her realistic assessment of the former retrofit program, which the Coastal Commission was quite critical of. But it sounds like it's just another attempt by the board to pretend the district has water that it clearly does not have. I hope the board will ignore reality and approve continuing staff time and effort to revise the water use efficiency plan into ever greater fictions about the paper water that simply doesn't exist, so that they can continue approving new development permits that will then be denied by the Coastal Commission. I ask you to take seriously the Coastal Commission's serious evaluations of Cambria's water situation, that there is not enough water for current residents without doing damage to the environment, and to take seriously the moratorium and stop even looking at these development permits that will allow new users to draw on a diminishing resource. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Is there any additional comment from the public? Osana, do we have any written comments on this? Oh, no written comments. So I understand people's concerns. I think one thing that I think the in-stream flow study may help to shed some light on exactly what the capacities of our aquifer actually are. So if we're coming back to the board now. So would we have any discussion? All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion to accept the existing allocation as adequate. Director Gray?
I so move.
Moves. Okay. Let's see. I don't know which of the rest of you got your hand up first. I'll go with the Director Farmer because he's the farthest to the right on my left on my screen. Director Farmer. Oh, sorry. Can't hear you.
Thank you for that definition as to how I appear on the screen. I just want to make mention, and this is slightly off of what we're discussing with regard to the district and affordable housing allocations, but it's really difficult these days to define, well, what is affordable housing? In some areas, people put a particular amount figure on what's affordable, what's low income, what's workforce, and so forth. But I guess affordable housing is whatever you can afford. And in that sense, the housing costs continue to increase, and the available people having enough money to buy to even rent something is becoming more and more problematic for various reasons. So I just wanted to put that out there, that finding something that's affordable in this community is seriously problematic, no matter how much you're making.
True enough. Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Steidel. Sorry, can't hear you.
Trying to be good and mute, and then I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the existing allocation pool of 56 units as adequate to serve Cambria's affordable housing needs at present. So let me see, any further debate? Seeing none? Oh, Adele, I believe. Oh, no, okay. I believe we're ready for the question then. So if you'd be so good as to call the roll, Asana.
Yes, Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Director Farmer.
You know what? I think I'm going to vote no on this. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Director Farmer, no. Vice President Dean.
So we're voting that the 56 units is adequate.
Yeah, for our current needs, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 4 ayes and 1 nay, Director Farmer. Thank you.
Thank you. So motion passes, Director Farmer dissenting. We are now ready for item 6B, which is to discuss and consider adopting the district strategic plan update. Let me see. Let's go. Does anybody have any just... this is, I'm not quite sure. This is a tricky one. Just questions for clarification, not discussion per se, but like something not clear. Okay. And if, at this point, then let's have a presentation, I think, first. Yeah. Is that, Director Steidel, is that what you're? Yes. So, yes, Director, General Manager Weigold, would you be so good as to present this item?
Thank you, President Howell. Agenda item 6B is discussion and consideration to adopt the district strategic plan update. Staff recommends the board of directors discuss and consider adopting the strategic plan update. As the board knows, you held a special board meeting on January 24th and 25th to not only update the strategic plan, but also to review and discuss updating the district's mission statement. So that is all attached here. The board process on this is to have multiple opportunities to update and refine the strategic plan over time. One is the strategic plan workshop, of course, but then we have this event to update the plan that we developed in the workshop. But then we have a chance to, or you have a chance to refine that each month at your second board meeting as events change, situations change, or we learn new information to drive changes in the plan. So this is a living document is, I guess, the best way to think about it. And so I know a number of you have some things that you mentioned to me to discuss at the board meeting here. And I'll pass it back to President Howell to maneuver our way through.
Okay, thank you, GM Weigold. So I think before we commence, we'll take public comment on the whole thing, and then what we'll do as a board is we'll just start chunking through each goal and each objective and just do it that way. So first of all, may we hear from the public, anybody that wants to comment about our strategic plan? Oh, I see one there. Okay. Mr. Dudzik, Dennis Dudzik. So, Asana, would you please bring Mr. Dudzik in? Here he comes. Welcome, Mr. Dusick.
Please unmute.
I know.
There you are. Well, you were.
Okay. And would you like me to start the video too? I can do that.
Oh, you sure? Yes, love to be able to see you.
I would love to be able to be seen.
That's the way. That's why we bring you in this way instead of leaving you in the audience. So yeah, we'd love to. Thank you for being here.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate it. I applaud the residents of Cambria for leading the way, and the board, for leading the way, and staff, I'll get through this, for leading the way in adapting to the new and challenging realities with respect to residential and commercial water use by making water conservation a way of life in Cambria. While these realities reduce the quantity of water households consume, they also expand the number of households CCSD can reliably serve without reliance on the water provided by the WRF. Today, based on CCSD's 2020 Urban Water Management Plan's residential water use projections for 2025, and supported by CCSD water use rates reported to the State Board for 2021, there's a firm basis for immediately beginning permitting of additional water meter connections without compromising system reliability for existing users during multiple year droughts. That also means a substantial boost in revenues to support potential affordable housing, the state park to address the health and well-being of the forest, to support other potentially underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed programs and services. There can be growth in the number of residents who can live in Cambria while maintaining a balance between growth and resources. In reviewing the board agenda packet, it is not clear the extent to which growth will be assessed in the six-month strategic plan objectives, analysis, and reports. Therefore, as a longtime lot owner and hopeful almost resident of Cambria, I therefore respectfully request that the board and staff include a strategic plan action item to address growth in terms of specific numbers of new connections and how those new connections contribute to the balance of growth and resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dusick. Okay, do we have any other public comment here? I don't see any. Osana, do we have any written comment?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're ready now to do the hard work here of going through each item. So I'll just start calling them out, and if anybody has any changes. And I think what we'll do is, if you're agreeable, is we'll just go through, and as long as the changes are not an occasion for argument, then what we can do is just go through, make the changes, and then at the end, by motion, accept the changes which we have made. Let's see if that'll work. If we get a situation where we actually need to separate something out and have a more serious discussion, we can do that as well. So starting then with the first goal is the to increase and improve communication with the public. And does anyone have on, let's deal then with objective one, which is the to develop and present to the board a public outreach. I don't need to read the whole thing, I think, but it has to do with the public outreach program. Are you all comfortable with that? Okay, I see nobody objecting or having anything to offer. So let's call that one, we stay as is. Now to objective two. This is something that I and GM Weigel were supposed to do, which is to present to the board a concept of holding two informal town halls. And we're supposed to do that at the March 10th meeting. As far as I know, I think we can still make that deadline. So I'm not up to changing it at this point. Anybody have any, unless Jim Weigel, this is kind of involves you and me. How do you feel? Is that all right?
No change for me.
Okay, we're good. How about the rest of you? Are you guys comfortable with it? Okay, so moving on. So now going to the next one, which is to achieve and sustain adequate financial resources. My own note. Okay, so starting with objective one, having to do with identifying organizational changes and efficiencies to address underfunded, under-resourced, understaffed needs, etc. And it's supposed to be the finance committee ad hoc working with, not ad hoc, I think that should have been finance standing committee, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks. It is an ad hoc?
President Hall?
Oh, yeah.
There's a reference to an ad hoc subcommittee in the finance committee.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, an ad hoc subcommittee of the finance committee. My mistake. It makes sense now.
It's still a little confusing.
It makes sense though. I see it now. Working with Jim Weigold and finance manager Pam Duffield. So are everybody comfortable with the who or the what? Director Steidel, originally I have a note that you had some question that you maybe wanted to change some of the wording.
It's actually in number 3.
Oh, oops. Okay, well, just hold that thought then. I have one problem with the date, and it has to do with the meeting schedule. Right now it says mid-month, June 15th. So if it's the intention, and this is why I'm coming to the rest of the board here, is it that actually be that we got a choice. If it's to be presented at a meeting, that the meeting would be June 16th, which means that the report would need to be ready at least a week and a half in advance. So I'm just wondering about that June 15th deadline, whether it's a meeting deadline or a deadline of having the report ready. Is that, Director Steidel, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, and thank you for having mentioned that. I did have a question about this, and I hadn't made a note to myself. And you've pointed out exactly the question that I had. And the point is, yes, it can be aligned to June 16th if that represents a board meeting. But obviously, it's the finance committee would be bringing something forward to the board, and the action of the ad hoc working through that with Jim Weigold and the finance manager, and then discussing it with the finance committee to advance it to the board would be a different date. So I guess I will ask, as Director Gray was part of the three folks who formulated some of this information, what was the intent of that date? Was that the June 16th is supposed to be when it comes to the board, or when the ad hoc committee reports back up to the committee for then eventually forwarding to the board?
I would think at this point it's probably to go to the board if they, because we got 4 months to work with. I think it's realistic to say going to the board. So you probably could use the board meeting date as that date.
Okay,
the June 16th. And then the who, actually, it's the finance committee acting on the ad hoc report and working with. So maybe, I don't know, can we something to address in the what or in the who to define that? Because the way the who is described now will not work.
Oh, I see. I see the point. Yeah. But yeah, Director Gray. Sorry, I was getting carried away. Sorry.
To simplify it, you could just simply take the ad hoc in parentheses out.
Oh, that works.
The Finance Committee will use this ad hoc subcommittee to produce a report. Then they can take it to the board.
Okay, but it is the ad hoc committee that's working with Weigold and Ms. Duffield, not the Finance Committee, but the ad hoc committee. So it isn't just a matter of scratching ad hoc.
Well, the finance committee, I guess, it's up to the finance committee what kind of structure to give it. And we had it through an ad hoc subcommittee. The finance committee could say, we don't have to have an ad hoc subcommittee.
No, there is an ad hoc, and they are working.
It is an ad hoc. Well,
okay.
Cindy, that so there is an ad hoc, and you do have working. So how do you want to do that?
Let's see. And how about in the what? And where it says under resource and understaffed service support needs. Formulate report to the finance committee.
Or to finance committee, okay.
For presentation to the BOD.
Okay.
Okay, and the June 16th, put in parens under the when, under June 16th, put to BOD.
Oh, to BOD, June, yeah, to the board on June 16th. Okay. So it would
that, change. That'll help march it back.
Yes. So Osani, whoever's taking notes on that. So the June 15th date changes to June 16th. And we say, Director Steidel said, and it should say to BOD, that is say to the board of directors on June 16th. So everybody clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We got that
and
one.
In, okay. And in the what?
Well, the what? Yeah.
There's the additional wording there. I don't know. Do you need to have me repeat that, Osana, or is that?
I'm taking the notes for this one. So I got
okay.
It.
Okay. Thank you, GM Weigel.
And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that takes care of that then.
Excellent. Let's move then to objective two. And again, this is the complete the Tyler Encode implementation. And I guess the issue there, Finance Manager Duffield, that June 15th date, do you feel that you're actually ready to report to the board on June 16th, which means you'd need to have your report done a couple of weeks in advance, or would you rather push this I just don't know whether if you want to have the report ready, then it won't go to the board until whenever the next meeting is after the 15th. I just was trying to get clarity as to what that deadline actually meant. And you get to be the one that sets it, so you get to decide.
When we were doing the strategic planning exercise, we were asked to pick the first or the middle of the month, first and middle. We weren't really considering board action dates. So I think you're going to see a lot of these, other than that first group did mm-hmm. that, but I don't think anybody else did that. That wasn't our direction. So it's fine to change it to the 16th.
Okay, so that would be the board meeting then. So again, I think let's do what Director Steidel suggested on the first one, is to say to BOD June 16th for the WIM. That way that you'll have clarity. And then if you need to push this down, you'll have some sense as to where how it needs to be pushed.
It'll probably be done earlier than that.
Okay. Well, I like to. Good. Well, don't feel
hey.
That. Right. Director Steidel, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were moving on. And
oh, okay.
I just had something on the objective three.
Well, please go ahead then. I think we're ready for that one.
Okay. I need to understand, and perhaps again, Director Gray, you can give some insight to this in the what portion where it says prioritize the funding solutions identified by the Finance Committee in its report. And I don't know if those are funding solutions that an ad hoc committee would be considering from the Finance Committee as much as their alternatives.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, what was your vision of the idea that the Finance Committee would have solutions for all of the underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed?
I don't know exactly if the wording is the wording is that clear. I think we really were talking about prioritizing not the solutions per se, but the funding need areas that are to be dealt with. I mean, maybe Ms. Duffield can clarify that a little bit.
I wasn't involved in that committee. Pierce. I think it was former director
Melissa.
Pearson,
and Melissa was
and maybe Melissa was there.
So,
wait a minute. I see Director Jim Weigel's got his hand up. So,
yeah, I think this was originally crafted to one, identify the issues, and then two, develop some solutions to them, but prioritize which ones you're going to go after first. Trying to get them all, I don't know how many dozens of them there are, but there are some that make most are going to make more sense to go after and make some actions against than trying to do all of them. So
Okay, that's entirely different from what this is saying. Okay,
I think the wording was a little bit awkward. I think Jim Weigel made it, you know, said what I was trying to say. Looking at what, you know, prioritizing what needs are out there, and this also comes to that issue of the you know utilities and financing have, or R&I and finance having somewhat different priority lists and having to harmonize them. But the idea is to prioritize the needs, the issues, and then, you know, decide what we go after first. So yeah, it should say prioritizing the funding issues.
Okay.
Identified by the finance committee's report and make recommendations to the board on solutions.
Okay.
I would do it that way.
Well,
I don't know if anybody else is from this subcommittee is here, but I think that's kind of what we were driving at.
Let's see how that works. So Director Seidel, did that work for you?
Again, it's solutions. So I don't know if it's a matter of prioritizing the areas. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But what you're saying is this ad hoc committee of the board is then also supposed to develop what those solutions are. Solutions is bothering me in this because it's an evolution. It's a matter of there may be alternatives and there may be recommendations by a board ad hoc committee that says, okay, here's the information that was brought forward to us, and here are some ways that the board could go about addressing that because they're the ones that have the authority to be able to institute anything.
Okay, so how do we change this? Again, this is important. We need to be very clear. You know, if our words are all mushy and
right.
It may seem a slightly pointless exercise, but it actually is pointful. If we don't know what, you know, we can't have clarity as to what we're doing, we're not out there. Let's see. I think.
How about prioritize areas for potential immediate alternatives review.
Let's see. Let's make sure she's done here.
Yeah. Well, prioritize areas for potential immediate alternatives or immediate alternatives review, not potential. But that basically would say, okay, here's some major issues that we can take a look at now. We can address something. We can make something happen immediately in these priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Is it saying that? Or is it saying, okay, here are the priorities. Now figure out how to do something about it, even though it may be.
Okay, so we're scratching our heads here. Director Gray, it looked like you might have.
Yeah, Director Steidel raises a kind of a good question there, because are we looking for the things we perceive that we need most and need most up front, or are we trying to look for the ones that would be the potentially the easiest, the problems that would be the easiest to solve,
right,
whether or not they're the highest priority needs? So that is an interesting question. I would go with the making the needs the priority, the basis of the priorities. But again, it's a little bit of fuzz, you know, fuzziness between the two.
I agree. I mean, it's the concept of do we really, you know, bite off the big piece of it for the things that we can actually create the biggest effective change for, or do we go after the low-lying fruit and at least try to get through some things while working on those others in the interim?
Let me make a suggestion here. Because this is a future objective and we don't have a date on it, what I'd like to do is note that this item needs to be discussed further. And could I ask that Director Seidel and you, Director Gray, could you communicate together on this and come up with something that works for both of you?
Something like that, yeah.
That'd be fine, yeah.
That'd be fine. Just, yeah.
Subcommittee here. So I'm just going to make a note to myself for next time. And I'm going to say ask Director Gray and Director Seidel. So, and if you guys could just it shouldn't take you too long once you, if you just have the freedom to talk back and forth and work through the.
Right. I agree. And the next time that we review the plan, since it's a future objective, we should be able to have formulated some narrative for that. What column? Mm-hmm.
And that way we'll get clarity, but I mean, we can do it now, but as I keep watching the clock, much as I like your company, I'm sure that.
Director Steinel, I could update the plan with yours and Director Gray's comments before the next meeting.
Sure.
Or your recommended changes.
That would be great. That way we would just say, we'd see them there and we'd say, oh, this looks.
And you can be ready, right, to discuss them.
Okay.
I'll just redline it.
Okay, thank you, Jim Weigel. So I'll make a note there, too. Okay, I think we're ready to move on to the next goal, which is the achieve and sustain adequate financial resources. No, that's the one we just did. Sorry.
Balance.
Got two sets of notes here. Okay, this is the achieve a balance between growth and resources. This is kind of related to what one of our commentators was bringing forward. So starting with objective one, this is to assist Resources Conservation District in applying for a grant to update the existing forest management plan and report the results to the board. So I have one question, but let me wait to see if anybody else has any issues here. Okay. Seeing none. We don't have a lead specified. It's Director Farmer and Director Gray. I mean, you're working together. We don't need a lead, but if I just don't know. Yeah, I'm Director Gray.
Yeah, we are pre-existing we're an ad hoc committee.
Let's go with that.
Together. So in some ways you could say I don't know what we call it. I think the Forest Management Ad Hoc Committee consisting of directors Tom Gray and Harry Farmer, something like that. Because we have been working as an ad hoc committee on this issue now for about 11 months or so. And yeah, that would be the way, if there's any confusion.
I just noted in my notes that I didn't have a lead. It's just that who do I ask if I need to get a progress report? But we can leave it as it is. Yeah. If you guys are comfortable, then I can live with that.
And that's
anybody else have anything on that objective? Okay. Oh, Director Farmer, I see your hand.
Actually, I think what I'll do is I'll wait until we finish with all three of these items, and then I have a few comments to make. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Be sure to raise your hand then, because I'm probably going to forget. So, but I'll make sure you get your chance there. Okay. Ready for then. Objective two, which is a future objective, presenting to the board a process to address policy recommendations for accessory dwelling units and affordable housing. I don't have any change. Council.
I did want to note that the Coastal Commission is prohibiting ADUs in Cambria.
May I ask you a question on that? Does that include ADUs that are within the footprint of the existing building, or is it separate ADUs?
As I understand it, it's any ADU.
Ah, well, that's interesting. Okay. This is a future objective, and I don't see the necessity of changing it at this point. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. It may be Mr. Carmel says, it may be moot. But and no harm in leaving it on here, at least for the time being. Okay, moving then, seeing no other changes on that one. How about objective three, participating in updating the existing forest management plan? And this is Directors Farmer and Gray, working with RCD. What is, Resource Confirmation, Conservation District. Any change to this one?
No
change. Okay, still somewhere in the sometime in the indefinite future, as we're waiting for the pieces to fall into place, I think.
It's a continuation of the first objective, basically.
Got it, yeah. Okay, we're good on that one. Let's go here. All right. Oh, good. This is the next one, which is the develop and implement a long-term infrastructure and resources plan. Director. Yes, thank you, Director Farmer. You wanted to comment. I'm sorry. Please
nothing
go ahead.
Nothing to be sorry about.
Okay.
So, with regard to, and I guess I should have been aware of this. What legal counsel just said that accessory dwelling units have been banned in Cambria by the Coastal Commission. Since I live in an accessory dwelling unit, I guess I have mixed feelings about that with regard to water availability versus the availability of housing for people with, let's say, lesser incomes. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. With regard to growth and resources, source being the forested areas in Cambria. But I think if you were to ask most people in this community what's our most important and valuable resource, it's water. And if you were to ask people what's their number one concern right now with this immediate moment with regard to what's happening in Cambria, is our most valuable resource going to be available to us further down the road? We were very blessed to have 14 inches of rain in October, November, and December, but who knows what's on the horizon? I don't necessarily know how we achieve, you know, how we address the issue of water as a major as the major resource in our community and incorporate that into this particular this particular part that we have in a strategic plan. But it appears at some point we should be addressing the reality of this situation. With regard to what Mr. Ducek said, and he was talking about residential and commercial water use, and that we have, because of the lessening use of water, that therefore we have a firm basis for issuing intent to serve letters, and that we'd actually be fortunate in that we would actually have increased revenue. Well, I'm just wondering what's more important, having water available for the folks that live here or having increased revenue moving forward. And so I guess that's up to the whoever's making that decision on their own. But my personal feeling is that if we were to look at revenue and growth versus quality of life, in other words, more traffic, more noise, less open space, it's a quality of life issue moving forward. I don't know how that gets incorporated into resources and the ultimate, not just the health of the forest, but like say the quality of life. Maybe I'm getting a little off track here, but it would appear to me that addressing forest health and the availability of water, the quality of water that we have, are the important issues with regard to the resources that we have that are most important in our community. So I just wanted to toss that out there.
Thank you, Director. So moving on to this, here we are. So this is to develop the long-term infrastructure and resources plan. And we have, let's see, on the first one, this is to prioritize the short-term infrastructure requirements for future resourcing and present at the April 14th board meeting, so there's no question there. Is there anybody want to make any change to this? I have one question, but other than that, yes, go ahead, Vice President Dean.
I don't want to make any changes, but I would comment that I would like to have that meeting with the WHO. Because I think there's a little bit of confusion. We, the Infrastructure Committee, since it was formed, have been dealing with what's being called a CIP list. But the Finance Department looks at CIP as a budgeting document. What we are looking at is prioritizing the needs for the utilities departments. So we need to meet together to discuss how we're looking at the list, and perhaps we need to come up with a different definition of what the R&I committee is looking at, because what we are looking at is prioritizing the the needs, the things that need to be fixed and what order they need to be in to be fixed, not the prioritizing of funding. And that's the finance department that looks at that. That is what the finance department sees CIP is. We are looking at what the needs of the infrastructure departments are. So we need clarification on how we're looking at it and how we could come together to determine what we're working on. Because we're working with the utilities manager and the supervisors of the departments to see what do you need fixed first? And they're looking at what needs to be funded first. So we kind of need to have a meeting of minds. So it may take longer than April 14th, depending on when we can coordinate this meeting with all the people that are in the WHO.
Okay. The only one
who... Unless everybody wants to say when they want to meet now.
The only one not present is the utilities manager.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Jim Weigold or Ms. Duffield, do you want to weigh in on this at all at this point? No? Okay. I'm not quite sure how to handle it. Yes, this is something that's been coming to my attention. The two sides of the house do need to kind of get together and figure out terminology issues, what documents are appropriate to each, and also probably to bring everybody to remember that we're all, it's all one, this is all CCSD, it's all one thing, and so all the parties need to be working, you know, and pulling in the same direction, whatever that is. So yes, GM Weigel.
Yeah, I would submit that the CIP list is a product of the budget process, because it becomes implemented in a plan as part of the budget. Typically, the board would look at the CIP list and take and look at the recommendations that the staff has for the upcoming annual budget and what of the CIP list is going to be funded. What we could probably do is talk about the process a little bit of what committees are going to review that and provide input to the board as part of the budget process. So maybe R&I meets, then passes it to finance, who passes it to staff, who bundles that as part of the budget process that then goes to the board, which has to happen in May, Ben, or June.
Yeah, I see some problems here because I think I mean the two different issues, and perhaps process is the point. What is the process? Maybe this really should be all you guys here in the WHO should meet, and the what should be develop a process to prioritize. I mean, so that you're all working together and you know what you're doing. Because I'm getting contradictory things coming at me from multiple directions here. Yeah, Director Seidel.
Well, I think the reality is you're dealing with two documents with two different parameters for prioritization. And I think that unfortunately they're both related or both referred to as CIP, and then
they're not the,
that is verbalized in that manner, and then people are going, wait a minute, I've got this list, and then I've got this list. I mean, what's the CIP? And perhaps number one, we need to find some way to define what those things are singularly, so that when somebody's talking to something in one or the other, you know, and has a different title to what it represents, up at the top of the page, there'll be less confusion. I think also that there's a shortfall between the information that utilities develops with R&I in it then getting to finance to give them a heads up. Hey, guys, you know, we're working to this. These are the things that we've determined have to happen right away because of A, B, and C. It may evolve that those things need to have budgetary adjustments because of it, but unless there needs to be there needs to be a better sharing of that information, I think, within the district staff itself to help, kind of keep a constant of whatever is going on. Now that the budget CIP ends up being adjusted on a regular basis when some rubber really hits the road. I mean, you may have a prioritization list in the R&I environment, and that may have been something that utilities gave feedback on. And, one is five and five is three. And then they just start moving forward on that. And then R&I starts moving forward on that. But no one's bothered to say anything to the finance manager.
Okay. So again,
so I think that there's something internally also within staff that there's a communication process that needs to be strengthened.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Director Steidel. Let's see. I don't know which of you had your hand up first, but I'll just go with Vice President Dean first and then Director Gray.
Okay. We were almost to the point of forwarding it. The projects that needed to be done to finance when it came to a screeching halt with the strategic plan workshop. with the issue,
of course,
we were at the final stage of getting ready to do that when the issue of what we're calling the list came up. So can we please have this meeting, clarify that issue so we can finish and give finance committee those priority projects that absolutely need to be done. Thank you.
Okay, and Director Gray first, and then Ms. Duffield.
Yeah, it seems to me that the who part of this seems totally on track. I mean, it's exactly the sort of people who should be brought together, and the when is good if the expectation isn't for a finished, master priority list, but maybe at least a report. Because it sounds like it's going to take, but because you're dealing with extremely important issues here, and they have to be worked out. It may take a little more time, but I think the maybe just the what should be prioritized, or you can even almost keep that, but the expectation should be maybe not a finished product by April 14th.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Ms. Duffield, please go ahead.
So my comment is, I'm just really confused. So. During the budget process, staff brings to the general manager and I their project priorities and what needs to be done at what point in time. And those with the most immediate need are the ones that get funded. So, here we are 5 months, 6 months working in the new fiscal year. And one committee is saying, well, we have all these things that need to be changed and new priorities. Well, we as staff should be making those decisions and should be aware of that. So why is this news to me? I just don't understand what's happening. It's really confusing.
It was news to me too. Excuse me.
that makes sense. Can I make a recommendation? Can we make the what? The who is fine, because all these parties do need to be working together to come up with something. But could I ask that maybe that the what be changed slightly to say actually two things? First of all, this group needs to get clarity as to a process, what the process should be. Because that's one thing I sense that is missing. Nobody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Everybody thinks they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they don't always match up. So I'd like to see this group first come up with a process, and then, so I would say, develop a process to prioritize. Let's get the process down, because without that, I think we're just going to be flopping back and forth on this. But I would say develop the process, and then the other thing I would suggest is present a progress report to the board of directors. Per Director Gray's suggestion. Mm-hmm. So I just throw those ideas out. Yeah, Ms. Duffield.
Sure, just one more thing I want to mention. So as the year progresses and anything in the capital world changes, So for instance, at the beginning of the fiscal year, we had, I believe, a change in the scope or dollars. I believe it was the inflow stream study. We've had that. We've had, you know, a couple of other contracts that have had changes to them or scope changes, or they needed change orders. And so our process for the last couple of years, since we've been trying to make a uniform process through R&I, through finance, before we take these adjustments in CIP to the board, is we start with R&I. You know, the utilities manager goes to R&I, tells them what the change is so that they're aware of it. The next committee it goes to is finance. They're made aware of the budgetary change, and, you know, it gets put in a report to finance. Have a process once something is in the budget. My concern is that we're just making a bunch of changes that are going to impact the work plan of the budget. And that's really hard to do in the midst of the year.
Yes. Yeah. I'll just say something, and then GM Weigold. Well, since this is a long-term thing, maybe that's really, it shouldn't be talking about this year, but more broader, a somewhat different point of view. I'm just guessing based on, I wasn't present when this was done, so I'm not sure. But since the object is a long-term strategic plan, we're really looking beyond this budgetary cycle. Again, I don't really know here. I see GM Weigel's got his hand up. He probably can enlighten us all on this.
Well, either that, President Hall, or I confuse everybody more.
Oh, okay.
So I would agree with you that a great objective here would be to develop a process for the annual CIP list for input into the budget for consideration by the board of directors. So if I look around at other towns, you know, or cities rather, not special districts, is the budget development process will vary, but generally everything feeds to the budget because, you know, if you want to find out what's important, follow the money, as they say.
Sure.
So those things that get budgeted are clearly the number one priority. Our goal of putting together a long-term financial plan rests on our ability to prioritize all those CIP items. But it's up to a number of us to participate in that process. One is get them on the list. Mm-hmm. Two is prioritize them. And then three is fund them. So that process all has to happen by April.
Oh,
so to get things into the budget process so that we can present to the board in June. Mm-hmm. So finance is going to see the final full budget in May, but there are for the CIP as a subgroup, that has to go through R&I, and R&I should look at not just utilities, should look at all items from all departments on the CIP list, mm-hmm. determine what the priority is. Then it flips over to finance to figure out how much of those priorities we can fund so they can review it. And then we feed that whole thing, the final budget, to finance for the whole budget, and then to the board for the interim budget approval.
Okay.
How I'm thinking about it in my little brain here, but I'd love to get together with directors Dean, Director Steidel, and we can map this out.
Yes, that seems like a good idea. I see two hands, and then I'm going to make a suggestion here.
So I think most of the work is done, but we could schedule some meetings for each of those events to get it done this year.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Director Steidel and then Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell. I think where we start getting some stutter steps happening is that things change over time and priorities change over time. And the needs change over time as far as where this money needs to be spent. And it sounds like that information's being communicated and discussed between Mr. DiDianzo and the R&I committee, and that that represents a prioritization list. Now, what that means is that potentially any of those changes or all of those changes would be something that would then affect the budget, because then the budget would have to be revised, or there'd have to be a realignment of resources, or there'd have to be, you know, different things that happen. So I can't tell if this is, I can't tell if this is happening because it's a fluid process where it said, okay, what are our most important things right now? And by the time those things are defined, then there's something else that's taken their place, just because that's the nature of the animal in trying to attack the issues that we've got in our utilities areas. But how that can fit into what is almost a mechanized process related to the budget is a whole different ballgame. There's an active component to it that's going on, mm-hmm. that is being dealt with in a prioritization between utilities and R&I, and that's the part of the process that needs to be, I think, expanded on as far as, okay, when that happens, how does that then get worked within other district staff bringing it to finance, or is that then something that has to come to finance first and then go to finance? So there's a discussion that needs to happen there.
Yeah. Thank you, Director Seidel. Director Gray, and then Chief Hollingsworth. Yeah.
So thank you. From taking off from General Manager Weigold's comments, I want to get clear on one thing. Is this basically now kind of referring to future budgets, not the one that's going to be prepared in the next few months, but to future budgets? And if you're talking about a complex process that needs to be worked out and everybody has to kind of come together on some kind of to harmonize things, it might be simplest to just treat this as a long-term, I mean, it's going to take a while to develop it, but a long-term process development dealing with budgets not this one that's being prepared now, but future ones. And maybe just say develop a process for creating a CIP CIP lists for future annual budgets or something like that, and have progress reports. Because it sounds like it's
already exists. Too
complicated to deal with in the next couple of months, if it's going to be for now, for our current needs, basically.
I understand. I see that. Yeah. Director Hollingsworth.
Hello, President Howell and Board. I want to thank you for taking the time to discuss this, because it's critically important for all of the department heads as we look out for the future well-being of our departments and how we serve the community. I would like to respectfully request that we maybe change or update the narrative in how we talk about this. And I say that because even numerous times in this meeting, we're referring to a CIP list that's based on utility needs. And when we do that, we're automatically excluding everything in the general fund, from the fire department to parks and rec to admin, all which have serious needs moving down the road. And I think we're doing ourselves and the community a disservice by not including that totality of what the CCSD offers to the district. So if there's a way to make that change that is honorable to what we're doing and not changing the narrative, I think that would be really important. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Yes, Vice President Steidel, or Vice President Dean, sorry.
Yes, and in the work we've been doing the last few meetings, we have been looking at the general fund CIPs as well, including the fire department. We had an ad hoc committee specially assigned to do general fund CIP, so we're not ignoring you. I don't know if you want to call it CIP or what, whatever ends up being decided, but that's the way we were assigned it to begin with, was calling it CIP. So we'll work it out.
Let me make a suggestion here, because this is clearly an item that could be discussed many times over, productively, probably. Can I ask of the WHO here, all the folks that are in the WHO, is it possible for you guys to meet together and perhaps come up with a what that makes some sense between all of you? So can we do that? So Jim Weigold, the what is going to be determined by the WHO, and the WHO is going to get together. Can you guys do it before our next strategic plan review? Will you have time?
I think we should.
Okay, I mean, I agree that you should, but is there time? If you all have the time, I'd like to ask for that to come up. So just make a note that to get kind of a, hopefully then the what will get, I'm hoping that some of these discussions we could actually have productively amongst yourselves and come up with something that will make a nice what that will, okay? So if you're all in agreement, Chief Hollingsworth, your hand is still up. Did you want to speak more? Okay. All right. Well, so that one is going to be, the what's going to be subject to some modification after the who gets together. So I think we're okay on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had an original question to myself is who's the lead on that. I think I'm going to, GM Weigold, if you need to communicate anything to me on behalf of all the other who's, I think you would be the guy to do it. So if I'm beginning to wonder, what are you guys doing? I think you would be the person I should ask. Is that all right with everybody else? Okay. I don't normally keep that close a track, but sometimes I do kind of say, what is that committee doing? And are they going to be ready? Okay. Moving then to objective. I'm watching the time too here. Moving to objective two. Anybody have anything to say about objective two? This is prioritize remaining non-funded utility SST IGA products, and it's going to be Mr. D'Enzo working with the R&I committee. Director Dean, you have your hand up.
We pushed that date out to June 15th because we were waiting to see what happened with the financial analysis when it comes to funding the SST IGA projects, because we don't know for sure what we're going to be able to afford to include or not include.
So the June 15th date is still comfortable?
For now.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Oh, GM Weigold?
Well, part of this will be in a discussion next Thursday when the financial advisor delivers his report, because it'll be really the first time that the board has a chance to talk about the extent of what the fund and how long to take to do those sort of things. So it'll be a first step toward that next week.
This is good. Yeah, we're making progress. I think we can, if no one has any other change. Vice President Dean.
You can treat the next objective the same way.
Okay. We'll just leave it as is then, and the June 15th day is good so far. Okay, now we're ready for the fourth one, which is a future objective. This is to review, and again, this is something we might want to postpone till later, but to review the current asset management requirements and report the results with recommendations. And this is the R&I committee working with Mr. D'Enzo and Ms. Duffield. It's a future objective, so I don't think we're very close yet. Do you guys want to make any changes to this? Yeah, Vice President Dean.
I think there's a little bit of confusion in the intent of what the R&I committee is doing. What we really want to do is an inventory, not an asset management. It's Ms. Duffield's job to do the asset management, because what she's looking at are things that need to be depreciated. Those types of things. What we are actually looking at, and somehow it got called asset management, is an inventory of what the district has, not an asset management program.
So if we change the words?
I think Ms. Duffield would like to weigh in on this, but sure. Really what the committee wanted to do was an inventory, because there has been a history years ago of things walking away from the district, you know, that weren't being used anymore. So we wanted to keep track of the things that the district owned, log them in, notate when they are no longer used, when they're salvaged or when they leave, what the remaining life is of something that is there, that when it may need to be replaced and what it costs, that kind of a thing. It's Ms. Duffield's job with her programs to do the part of the assets that are being depreciated, that kind of a thing. So I think there was a little confusion on how this, I wasn't part of this breakout group. I could have explained it then, but anyway.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield.
So it's unfortunate that utility manager D'Anzo is not here, mm-hmm. because I think that during this discussion, he asked to have this pulled off the list because it was just an internal operational thing that he wanted to do within his two departments.
Okay.
I mean, like computer equipment. We track the computer equipment that's purchased throughout the district, and we have a replacement schedule. That's not part of our asset system. You know, we don't have a useful life for those, you know, through the system. We don't depreciate them. But, you know, that's an example of, you know, we're tracking people's computer screens when they were purchased, people's computers. So we know when to budget to replace them. We give them like a 3-year, you know, time frame and things like that. So there are things that are being tracked internally, but they're not necessarily something that's deemed a fixed asset that is tracked throughout, you know, that's now tracked in Tyler and would be depreciable. So maybe it's something we can talk about at the next session, and then utilities manager can weigh in at that point. But I recall him asking to have this pulled off the list.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Duffield. And I do remember that conversation. It's one where I disagreed with him, actually. Mm-hmm. So I understand, though, because I was at the R&I, I was a fly on the wall at the R&I meeting where this area was discussed. I think it's a terminology issue here. Would it be satisfactory if we simply say, review the current inventory requirement of the district and report back? Because we're not, the issue, yeah, is it asset management or is it, Ray was speaking about having a whole system to keep his repair schedules and that kind of thing. And I think what Vice President Dean is actually referring to is something a little different than all of that. Like, for example, what happens to the computer when it's obsolete? It really needs to be surplused and gotten rid of because it's state property. Somebody doesn't just get to take it home, but we need to keep track of those items. So can we just, would it be acceptable to you guys to change the word asset management to simply inventory? Will that work? Yeah, Director Dean, or Vice President Dean.
That works for me, but we can also, we can deal with this when Mr. D'Anzo can be with us for the next update.
We can do that. All right, let's leave it as it is then.
There's some misunderstanding. I mean, he said he had a microfiche program to I think that's what it's called, to track some of the stuff, but that he wanted help with the actual inventory of it. So why don't we just leave it the way it is or change that word to inventory and wait and update it at the next strategic plan update session here.
That's fine with me. Leave it as it is or change asset to inventory. I guess that was the question.
I don't care. Let's change it to inventory.
Let's change it to inventory then. Is that all right with everybody? Okay. It's amazing how important words are. I'm continually amazed. Okay, I think we're almost done here. Yeah, we're ready for vote 5. Okay, good. So this is Achieve Community Preparedness for Wildfires and Other Emergencies. I'll just start through. So does anybody have any modification to Goal 1? This is to update the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. Okay, no changes to that one. And that'll be for the March 17th. Is this a good deadline, a March 17th board meeting?
That's, yes, sir, it is.
No, don't be afraid if it has to go beyond. Just, but I've got a slot set for you on that meeting. Okay, moving then to Objective 2. And this is to identify potential additional evacuation routes and capabilities, support needed grant applications, etc. Okay, this is Directors Gray and Vice President Dean. and Chief Hollingsworth. Anybody want to make any change to any of that?
I can give you a very quick update in that the steering committee met for the first time regarding Zone Haven at the beginning of the week, and it looks due to some potential delays in getting it rolled out. They're probably not going to have Zone Haven available until middle to end of fire season this year, which would put it at the end of summer and fall. So if that changes, or if it is phased in and we have a different information, I could get that to you as soon as it does happen. And that way you can get it as I get it. But please remember that Zone Haven is only a small component of what we're talking about here, that that evacuation ad hoc group with Director Gray and Director Dean is still working on the additional components of what we're talking about.
Excellent. Thank you. What about the dates on that? I have some note to myself. I'm looking at a question. Is it April? I'm thinking of board meetings. We've got an April 14th board meeting and a May 12th board meeting. And since it says report the results to the board, I just need to know which date that should be, or where you guys. Yes, Director Gray.
I would say it's okay. I think April 14th is probably okay for reporting to the board on what we have at that point, because we should have the study on the evacuation scenarios in hand. Yes. And we'll have had a chance to take a pretty good look at it.
Okay. Great. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So we're good. So both of you're good also that date for the. Okay. So I've got that down for your, that'll be the April 14th meeting. Cool. Okay, let's see. Last one. Yes, this is to research and develop a defensible space ordinance. And Chief, it's basically you working with us and GM Weigold and Council.
And Council, yes. And let me quickly define that this was fundamentally changed from developing the ordinance for implementation versus doing research to present it to the board for the purpose of direction on how you want to move forward. So this is R&D, if you will, to find out what the functional components of this will be, the various laws and statutes that will go in behind it, letters of support from Cal Fire, the totality of implementation, and then to give the board the information on how that would look and what we would need to be successful, but not developing the ordinance at this time.
Got it. So it's probably, we can tweak the wording a bit. Why don't I say research a defensible space ordinance for the community and present that to the board rather than the ordinance itself? Is that all right? Just take the word develop. I can't tell if you guys are agreeing or. Chief, would that be okay with you? You said research the defensible space ordinance.
That would be appropriate to me. The end of the what. Clearly defines it for consideration and direction as opposed to implementation. So that works for me.
Okay.
Everybody. But I would defer to GM and Council for appropriateness.
Okay. GM and Council, are you guys comfortable with that? Okay. I see heads nodding. So we're going to take out the word develop, basically, and develop. Just take that out. Excellent. And the date is still good on that, which would be...
16.
Do you want that for the... That would be when the report is due, or do you want to present it to the June meeting, the first?
To the second June meeting.
Okay, whatever that is, I'm going to put second June meeting here.
Second, the 16th.
Oh, thank you, June 16th. Thank you. Okay, I think that does it. So now we just need a motion to accept the changes. Oh, yeah. DM Weigold, I see your hands up. You'll get...
Two items, President Health. We should review the mission statement.
Oh.
If there's any comments on that. And also coming up at the 5 o'clock hour for extension.
Right. Let's do the 5 o'clock part first. So if we have a motion to extend, well, how much more have we got here? I misplaced my agenda.
Yeah, let me just make a motion to extend till 5:15.
Oh, okay, we can try for that.
See, instead of rushing to make 5 o'clock?
No, we definitely don't want 5 o'clock. Okay, 5:15 is good.
I second that.
Okay, moved and seconded, go to 5:15. I'll do it as a unanimous. So are there any opposition votes? Nobody opposes, so the motion to extend succeeds. Okay, so the mission statement, which I will read. The Community Services District provides authorized municipal services to maintain and enhance the quality of life for the Cambria community and its visitors. So that's what we came up with. Are we all happy with that? Yeah. Okay. Okay, Osana, are you happy with that too? Or I saw your hand go up. Okay. All right. I think we're all happy with that one. So we can, we're now ready for a motion to accept the strategic plan as modified.
And the mission statement, right?
And the mission statement.
Except right, so I'll restate my motion as exactly as you stated it. So.
Okay. So it's been moved and I think seconded by somebody to accept. Oh, seconded by Director Steidel to accept the strategic plan and mission statement all as modified during this meeting. All right. Harry, I believe Director Farmer, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'll make it real brief. I don't know why. I just have a feeling there's something quite a little bit lacking in the mission statement, like a brighter light of some type shining out from the district. But that's neither here nor there. And with regard to core values, I personally had hoped, and we determined these a little while back, not just the last strategic plan gathering. But I just wish that trust had been in here and could have been fit in at some point. So okay. I will just leave that. Thank you.
It would be in order to put that in at the next review. So if you can keep that in the forefront of your mind and bring it forward during our next review, we could make that change. All right. Anybody else? Okay, I think we're good. We haven't voted on it. Did we vote? Yeah, we have to vote on this. Okay. Osana, I need to call the roll, if you please.
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Oh. Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 5 ayes to accept the strategic plan and the mission statement. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think we're now, Director Farmer, your hand is still up. Okay. We're ready for item 6D. Which is to discuss and consider changing the regular board meeting time. So again, Jim Weigold, if you would be so good as to present this.
Thank you, President Howell. Item 6D is, as you said, discuss and consider changing the regular board meeting time. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider changing the regular board meeting time. The directors approved the annual 2022 regular meeting schedule on December 16th of 21. For all meetings to start at 2 p.m. However, Director Gray has requested that the board consider changing the meeting start time to 1 p.m. With that, I'll pass that back to you, President Howell.
Thank you, Jim Weigold. So I guess, let's see. First of all, do you have any questions for clarification? Just to go follow the formula here. Okay, no questions from the board. We'll go to the public for public comment. So folks out there, there's still a few of you left. Do you wish to comment on this issue? Let's give it just a minute. And while we're waiting, Osana, do you have any written comment? No written comment. Okay. So and no comment from the public. So we'll come back to the board. So do we have some discussion here? Oh, yeah, Vice President Dean.
I think this is a good idea because I think when these meetings go beyond 5 o'clock, the way they're scheduled now, we're incurring overtime for staff and interfering with their dinner. And I think if staff is available to start the meetings at 1 o'clock, maybe we can avoid getting into their dinner hour and creating overtime. Yeah. I just think it's a good idea. I'm not saying we make the meetings any longer than they already are. I'm just saying let's get done with them. Let's start them earlier so we can get done with them earlier. That's where I'm going with this.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Director, Director Gray, then Director Farmer.
I want to pick up on Vice President Dean's point. I don't want the staff to think we want to make the meetings longer. I do want them to be able to get home for dinner. Now when they're, some are working remotely now, some are working in the office, but eventually going to be all working in the office. And I don't like keeping people past five. Getting done by four is ideal, but right now here we are at 5 o'clock, and we've only gone, not quite done. And this isn't a huge agenda. I do think we need to. This is something for the, I hope the staff. I hope this is good for the staff because this, it's good for me, and I don't think the public has any problem with it either. So, and I think we should give it a try.
Oh, thank you, Director Gray. Director Farmer.
I just want to thank Director Gray for bringing this up for us to consider, because as both Vice President Dean and Director Gray have said, this is, I think, as much as anything, being considerate of the needs of the staff. And if they don't have to work past 5 o'clock, that's all well and good. They work hard enough as it is. And I think if they were on the board, they'd be voting twice to put it to 1 o'clock. So that's how I feel.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else have any comment? Can I ask staff, we have at least three of you here. Are you all comfortable with starting early? Okay. I see nodding. Okay. It seems appropriate to ask. So, all right. I'm also in favor of this change. I'm wondering why we haven't done it sooner. There may be some historical reason. See, Director Gray, your hand is up.
I was going to make a motion.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
Proceed with the changing the regular board meeting time to 1 p.m. And I guess there's going to be a resolution that has to be taken next week, right?
Let's see. Mr. Carmel, what's the procedure here?
It was established by resolution, so it has to be amended by resolution.
So, to initiate the process of changing the meeting to 1 p.m.
Okay, so what we'll do here, the motion will be to instruct staff to prepare a resolution to change the standard meeting, the regular board meeting time to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Director Steindl, I see your hand.
I second.
Okay, do we have any additional debate? We should ask counsel. Mr. Carmel, will you be available at 1 o'clock on most days?
Yes, I'll be available.
That was kind of important. I meant to ask that. So, okay, so all the parties are willing and able to be present. Sounds like a good idea. Okay, I've just spoken in favor of the motion. Anybody else want to talk? Okay, so let's go for a vote on this. So, Sana, please call the roll.
Yes, Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. President Steindl?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steindl, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean, aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell, aye. Five ayes to change the meeting time to 1 p.m. To bring back with a resolution next week. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Osana. I did occur to me, I forgot to ask for public comment on this. It's a little late now, but does any...
You did ask.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. In that case, we're ready now for the board member committee and liaison reports. I'm going to call for public comment before each report. That way the reporter, if you wish to speak about your report, you could have an option to answer questions that might be raised by the public. So I'm calling for public comment on the Finance Committee report. Give it just a minute. And Osana, do we have any written comment on any of the reports?
No, I did not. Okay. I'll double check one more time. There is none. Thank you.
No public comment. I mean, no written comments on any of the reports. And I see no public comment on the Finance Committee report. So let's see, that would be Director Steidel. Do you wish to say anything more about your written report or emphasize any points?
No.
Okay. This is your chance. If you need a soapbox, these are the times. Okay. Then moving on to the Policy Committee report. So again, I'll call for public comment on the Policy Committee report. All right, and seeing none, we'll go for that. So Director Farmer, do you wish to add anything to your Policy Committee report or emphasize anything? You can also read the whole report if you like.
God. No, I'm not doing that. I just want to quickly mention that Committee Member Key was very, you know, very passionate with regard to, you know, having a policy with regard to addressing climate change, climate crisis, climate emergency. And I don't necessarily know how we're going to do that, it certainly seems to be, since it is an important item all over this planet with regard to caring about the planet and being attentive to her needs and how we live here in harmony as much as possible. I would hope that in putting a policy together such as that, that we would come from that frame of reference. We as a board, I mean.
Thank you, Director Farmer. All right. I should call for board members, if you have any questions regarding another report, I guess it would be appropriate to ask these. I do see Director Steidel's hand on this one.
I'm just curious about that, though, in terms of the policy committee, well, and individual of the policy committee developing a report of this, or a policy of this kind, and that they had voted on forwarding it to the board of directors for discussion and consideration. As far as I know, the board did not ask for this policy to be developed. So this is something that the committee chose to do on its own. And it's using board time for something that wasn't requested of them. I think that if we're going to formulate a policy along these lines and it goes anywhere near addressing the numbers of things that are listed in that second paragraph, there are all kinds of things associated with that that would take a lot of forward planning and significant financial impact. So, frankly, I don't want to use the board's time in this way now. They haven't requested it, and we don't have any basis for developing any specifics or impacts related to all of the things that are itemized here.
Okay. Thank you, Director Steidel. Any other comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to...
Can I briefly respond? I don't know if I should, but let me just say this much.
That's out of order, Director Farmer. This is actually coming up as an actual agenda item.
Okay.
So sure. I don't it's appropriate at this time. I mean, I'll tell you what.
It's okay. It's all right. No problem.
I just said I don't want to cut you off like that, except that it is going to come forward. And so I think we're kind of moving the discussion, which could go on for some time. I'd rather do that as a separate agenda item. And it did, Director Steidel did remove, and it passed to have that in our, I believe it's our March 10th meeting. So it will be coming up. Having said that, let's move on to R&I Committee's report. And again, any public comment on the R&I Committee report? All right, I'm calling once, calling twice. Okay, no public comment. So. Vice President Dean, if you wish to comment on your report or emphasize anything, or
no, other than I would like to reiterate that Utilities Manager Ray D'Anzo did give very detailed updates on the status of the CDP and the data that was needed to complete it. He gave a very good update on the in-stream flow study and several other items. So I know that members of the public have asked a lot of questions on where we are on the CDP, where we are on the IGA process, as well as many other things. And it's 40 minutes into the meeting recording for anybody who wants to listen to this.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone have comments or brief comments or questions from the board regarding the report? All right. Seeing none, let's move on. We are now ready for other liaison reports. So I think, let's see. I'm just going to go over the written ones here, and then if anyone has any. So again, I'm going to just call for public comment on any liaison reports. I'm assuming the public has read the packet. So I do see some members of the public here. So Crosby and Laura Swartz. Osana, could you please bring them in?
Thank you, President Howell, and members of the board. I just have a quick addition to Director Farmer's report on the Forest Committee meeting. We did have an excellent guest speaker at our February meeting, which was yesterday, and we recorded the presentation. It was Brian Baker, the conservation director for Los Padres Forest Watch. He talked about a variety of topics, but probably the most important one was the danger that wildfire presents to the community and the ways the community should be preparing itself for that. If you would like to view the recording of this presentation, contact the Forest Committee by email at forest@cambriaforestcommittee.org. It's an excellent presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swartz. Thank you very much. So do we have any comments or, Harry, Director Farmer?
Yeah, I just want to quickly comment on what Crosby just said. Mr. Baker's report, one of the things that he highlighted was communities that made a serious effort at preparing for the potential of wildfire, you know, doing harm to their communities, were very successful. Fires took place in some areas, in the wooded areas around, and none of the houses were done any harm at all. And that's the direction that we should be making an effort to go in with regard to Cambria. So I want to even further encourage folks to watch that 2.5-hour presentation. It's very, how could you say it, enlightening, illuminating, as well as informative. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Director Farmer. Anybody have any other comments regarding? We have the Forest Committee report, and we have the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch. Director Farmer, these are all your reports, so taken as a group, is there anything else that you'd like to say about those? And then I see Vice President Diener has her hand up.
I don't have anything further to add, and I hope Vice President Dean doesn't have anything bad to add.
Okay. Vice President Dean, please go ahead.
I just want to point out that it's 5:13 and we extended the meeting to 5:15 and we still have future agenda items.
That's true. I guess it may take longer than I thought here. Can we extend? I know work expands to fill the time available, but I think just to make life easy, if we go to 5:30, I don't think we need to, but just to save having to do this again. Is that all right? Okay. Okay. I'm going to move that we go to 5:30. Is there a second? Seconded? Okay. Again, we'll do it by, I'm asking for unanimous consent. Any opposition? No votes. The action passes unanimously that we'll go to 5:30. Hopefully we won't actually go that far. So the NCAC report, I believe, is, we still have a PROS report to go through. So NCAC report, do you have anything to add or emphasize on that one, Vice President Dean?
No, I just want to mention that at the next NCAC meeting, I don't have the date in front of me, they are going to be discussing the homeless issue. And they're also going to be discussing all the scams that we've been receiving here in Cambria.
The NCAC meeting is next Wednesday, the 16th, at, I believe, 6 o'clock.
Thank you. I was just looking for that. Thank you.
All right. And anybody have any comments for Vice President Dean? Okay. Moving then on to the PROS Commission. Director Farmer, do you have anything to add or emphasize about this report?
No, they've got a great group of people on the PROS Commission, and they're blessed to have Mr. Neffen as their chair.
Yes. I have to agree, watching those meetings, I throw, and I've always thought Mr. Neffen chairs, does an excellent job of conducting the meetings. So any commentary from the board and or questions, comments? Okay. Then I think that completes all of our liaison reports, and we can now move to future agenda items. So let's see. Anybody have a future agenda item? Yes, Director Farmer.
This is probably something that I need to talk over with Director Gray, since he and I are basically the ad hoc committee regarding growth and resources. But I'd like to bring it back to the board to perhaps discuss and consider redefining and perhaps in some fashion redirecting the strategic plan with regard to finding a balance between growth and resources.
Okay. That would be, which goal is that? That's
number three.
Okay. I'm just going to just shorthand. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's growth and resources, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So to discuss and to consider defining and or defining slash redirecting that particular goal regarding balance.
Redefining.
Yeah, redefining and or redirecting, yeah?
Okay, that's fine.
Well, no, that's what you said. I did. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Okay. Yes, Director Gray?
I would suggest maybe the way to do that is to, at the next review, which I guess is a month from now, the first meeting of March, we might want to bring that up because that was on the schedule, right?
Yeah.
Interview? Yeah, that might be the time to do it.
Okay, well, we'll start with that and see how we go. GM Weigold, I saw your hand there. Oops, can't hear you. No, can't hear you, John.
You're muted.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I was just going to add when Director Gray spoke up that we're going to have that strategic plan at the second meeting of board meeting of each month, so anything is fair game to talk about on that.
The second board meeting. It'll be the second board meeting, say, of March, then.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we start with that, Director Farmer, and then if you still want to carry that further, bring it back as an agenda item for more extensive discussion. Let's see how we do on the strategic plan, but if that's not satisfactory, we can go ahead and put that as a separate agenda item. Would that be all right with you?
Sure, that's fine.
Anybody else? Gee, kind of quiet. I have only one thing that I want to bring forward. The policy committee did finish the correspondence policy, and it is ready to go before the board, so at some point you'll see that. Just wanted to memorialize that as much for the policy committee's benefit. Just let them know that we haven't forgotten about them. Anybody else? Well, gee golly, we have 6 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this is good. I apologize for keeping you late, but I think actually we had some pretty good material for discussion there. I see GM Weigel's hand. Yes. Go ahead, John.
President Hell, I was just going to throw out to the board for consideration and as a future item at some point. I emailed the new update on masks effective next Wednesday. Masks are no longer required indoors for vaccinated people. So it may be worth starting to think about in-person meetings at some point, because we need to do a lot of planning. From a staff perspective, to whether that's going to be hybrid or likewise. So I'm not asking you to put it on yet, but just to think about if you do want to go down that road, we're going to need a little planning time to execute it.
That makes sense. A quick question to council on that one is, when does the emergency declaration that allows us to meet virtually, doesn't that have a sunset date on it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
That's AB 361. And I think it's a good idea to just prophylactically adopt the resolution each time. You can go in person or hybrid or telecoms. That's the best way to do it.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to be sure all that I understood. Okay, I think we got it all done. If nobody has, Director Steindl, sorry.
I'm just curious, if you don't have to wear a mask as long as you're vaccinated, does that mean fully vaccinated with boosters? And can we actually require that someone show us their vaccine card? And what do we do if they are not vaccinated? What actions, what authority do we have to not allow their public attendance?
Mr. Carmel, those are all important questions. I was wondering the same thing, but I'm not sure that Mr. Carmel is going to have an answer at this point.
Honestly, there are no clear, well, Director Gray may have an answer. There are no clear answers to that question at this point in time. I can certainly put together a memo that outlines what options we have.
Yeah,
that may be helpful. I don't feel a sense of urgency on that one. I'd rather have your time spent on some other things first, but certainly we won't need that. Director Gray.
Yeah, my point was we were just starting to get into discussion a little bit of a future agenda item.
Yeah.
As an item, so we have to be careful not to move that direction.
Yeah, right. So, we do need to bring that forward at some point and try to get some clarity. But exactly when and I've got it on my list, and we'll kind of go from there. Anybody else? Okay, not seeing anything, so I look forward to seeing you all next week. Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, as if we're not having enough fun already. Thank you very much. Sorry, I have to say goodbye to you now. I really enjoy meeting with you all. And thanks to the public. Thank you all for hanging in there. So goodbye, everybody.
Well, have a good weekend and pray for rain.
Yes.
Recording stopped.